It's all about the Pantene's, baby.
Hello and welcome to the tech podcast nobody asked for, but everybody loves. That would be 2.5 Bens. Yeah. So anyway, I'm Phoneboy.
I'm Phoenix.
I'm Sir Bemrose.
And here we are.
Doing it again.
Doing it again. Episode 8. We had some...
Can't believe we've made it all the way through 8 episodes.
We didn't have nearly enough people saying, hey, stop, quit. We can't handle anymore. So we're
that's only because you haven't put it on the NA stream yet, or have you?
Oh, you'll never know.
Oh, I suspect you probably have with some of the people who have bounced back the fact, but that's okay because we don't mind being on the NA stream because it's not about those two. It's actually about us and the listeners and what they garner from it.
It's really about my young lackey who's beginning to suppress the master in many areas.
you're talking about Cotton Gin, right?
Of course.
Yeah, we love Cotton Gin.
Yeah, I pretty much backed off when, you know, I couldn't even make a bunch of the shows, and Cotton Gin was awesome, really stepped up and started running this. And now he's like making new features that I never would have made. I'm like, dude, you were just supposed to pull levers, Code Monkey. What the fuck?
Yeah, well, it's this
damn dog. You make me look bad.
Yeah, he submitted a pull request on my the script I use for the Lotus Street. Yeah, so because I said it to him, I said, yeah, you can. Yeah, I mean,
this fucking overreaching guy over here who should be working in tech but is fucking sweating it out in the Amazon mines. Good for him.
Yeah I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not in the mines. You just drive.
Well, it's the delivery, right? It's the delivery.
I'm going to rant about an Amazon driver and not Sir Bemrose because these motherfuckers, they just do not care. Like, he basically almost took the bumper off the front of my car instead of waiting the 2 seconds for my passenger to get in. Like, what the fuck?
Are you talking about Knoxville?
Yeah,
that's right. Because that's right. They have the big Amazon monolith there on Pelos.
Several monoliths of Amazon in the area, I assure you.
Yeah, but
and they're
the one
expanding.
Yes, exactly. They're on the Pellissippi Parkway. They've got when you're driving it, you can actually see it, and you can see that they're building, you know, I don't know, infrastructure
incentives matter. If you want to kill that business, all you have to do is convince everybody to get off their asses, move away from the computer, and go out to physical stores again, and Amazon will just crumble.
Never gonna happen.
Yeah, but
you think?
But no, but I think, but I mean, it raises a larger point that I think in general, right? Yeah, I mean, you can make that choice. We're not gonna. I mean, this is probably the topic I'm thinking of is probably more for Lotus, but yeah.
Here's the thing. I look at it this way: if I continue to order from Amazon, people, actual humans, continue to have a job.
Well, some humans somewhere, although they're replacing everything with AI. It seems like
until they figure out how to automate us away.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that your warehouses actually already have robot forklift things that are running around. I've seen them.
They don't work half. You know, here's the thing. Every single day, every day, there is one fuck up or another on the routing or on the pad or the algorithm or how things get put in bags or how things get put on the conveyor belt. There is like... Now, admittedly, in terms of packages, there's like one fuck up per 100,000 packages. But that, I mean, when you have 6 million packages go through a station in a day, I don't know exactly what the numbers are. But I mean, the number of fuck ups is really quite a bit. Now, that's not a huge problem. And it's amazing how well that system works. But the problem is, and this is the thing that the programmers can't quite manage. The computers do not handle fuck ups. When I roll up to load up my van in the morning and I go and realize that my carts are in the wrong place or the wrong bags are on them or somebody just forgot to scan one of them or something like that, I figure this out and I go solve it. And I, you know, I give weird examples, but it's a different thing every single morning.
Well, of course it is. I mean, yeah.
But if they... and every single time that happens, what I tell, you know, when one of my coworkers is, I can't believe they screwed this up. I'm like, dude, you need to get on your knees and be thankful for those fuck ups, because if they ever got everything right, you would be automated out of a job.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, that's, it's funny because, yeah, there's even a story. Well, it, there's a story about, well, I don't know, somebody saying it's maybe not going to be as bad, but anyway, we know this. We're getting into stories.
Hold on, though. Yeah. I want to just add a quick little personal story. Speaking of the fuck ups. So I decided I was finally going to put some of my stickers on my Windows machine because we don't sticker Macs. We have some respect, but I'll sticker the fuck out of a Mac machine. And I bought some stickers. Now, this is the funny part. There's three stickers all supposed to be identical in this particular package. One of them is die cut fucked up, so part of the words are cut off. The other one is completely different than the other two. So one out of three was right in this package. And they're like, well, you need to send it back. Well, fucking gladly, bro. I'm not going to use
it. Have you tested the material? Is it made of chinesium?
Everything from Amazon is made of chinesium. Are you joking? That's a stutter.
Well, there's your explanation.
No joke. Yeah. But however, they did send me a replacement that was completely correct.
I still have to return the other ones for whatever reason.
Yeah, you actually have to appreciate a company like Amazon for making the realization that this is something that my old company, Microsoft, never fucking understood, is that there is value in keeping customers happy. Because a company like Microsoft, and I'm not going to name which company it was that was like this, that it was Microsoft. I'm not going to name them. But they would often, we'd get a bug somewhere in there, and they'd be like, they'd be like, what's the impact of the bug? Well, the impact is you're pissing off a customer. Yeah, but, financially, we save 3 cents if we do it this way. There was a problem that it was persistent. It was everywhere in the company, part of the culture, that if you couldn't measure it, the value must be zero. And customer satisfaction was very difficult to measure, so we just assumed no. I have to give it to Amazon for realizing that, you know what? Keeping the customer happy is worth a hell of a lot more than a 64-cent piece of chinesium. And sending you a brand new one, in the grand scheme of things, saves a whole lot of money versus having your ass go through customer support and then get pissed off.
Or just tell a friend not to use fucking Amazon because X.
Yeah, the pile-on costs of pissing off a customer can turn out to be really big. And Amazon is one of the companies out there that has figured out that, you know what? We have an unhappy customer. Now, they have lots of algorithms that are pointed at these customers. Be like, hey, this person's gaming the system. But if you have one order fucked up and it's been perfect the rest of the time, they won't even verify. You say, hey, this thing arrived broken. You know, this $100 item arrived with a chip on the side. They'll be like, oh, sure, we'll send you a new one. Because that $100 is still cheaper than having you go through. Yeah, well, it might be even cheaper than having you go through second tier customer support. But even then, still cheaper than having you go away angry with the company. Now, of course, they run algorithms on it. And if you're the kind of person who, you know, every third order, you're like, hey, it arrived with a scratch, and then you can get free ones. They'd be like, you're not a customer anymore. No.
Yeah,
that's
fine. Obviously.
But, don't let people abuse it. But
you also mentioned like Microsoft having bugs. Really?
No.
I mean, there's a reason for Patch Tuesday, and it couldn't be Microsoft.
Reboot Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, another company that does a really good job of taking care of customers is Costco. There's a reason I have a Costco membership, right? If I have a problem with anything, I can bring it back. I mean, even though they've now changed their electronics policy to 90 days, I brought back a printer I purchased a year after and returned it and got my money back. So, you know,
yeah,
but I mean, the reality is I understand that they did that to curtail abuse, but yeah, I'm like a 25 year member at this point, or 30 year member.
Yeah, well, there were people who were literally going out buying a product that generally will last, you know, 5 years, using it for 5 years, wearing it the fuck out, and then coming back with their receipt from 5 years earlier and saying, hey, this thing doesn't work, give me a new one. And their policy was, okay, here you go.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Costco's been doing pretty well. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they do all right.
I wish they'd build something closer to us, although we might move although we might move closer to it.
Partly because they've short-circuited the normal buying reflex by pretty much stripping you of $200 right off the top every year.
Yeah, people actually, the funny really thing is, well, yeah, if you have an executive, yeah, I actually get my money back on that. So even with an executive membership, it's not, you know.
Yeah, they're counting on a lot of people don't, though.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's why we are willing to put that exorbitant amount of money out every year, because I know that I can go to Costco if I have a tire fuck up and it's not going to cost me anything because it'll cost Phone Boy because it's his credit card.
And by the way, if you're getting your $200 membership cost back in the rewards club, what that really means is that you spent several thousand dollars, so they came out ahead anyway.
Of course,
the house always
course.
Wins.
Oh yeah,
but
exactly.
here's
at least
what I
you
find,
got Chinesium in bulk.
I find it worth the $200 just because I can go in there and I can buy an entire.
It's actually like $130, but. But Amazon is more like $200 now with their. What do they charge for Amazon Prime these days? I have no fucking idea. I don't know. It's way too much money. But...
Okay, I just had an epiphany. Either. No, fuck you. I just had an epiphany. Seriously. I have Amazon Prime. I pay for a round number $17. I'm paying over $170 a year if you do the math on that to have Amazon Prime. Yeah. Now, hold on. With all the shit that we order, I'm fucking taking them for all they're worth in fucking shipping.
That's probably true because most of Amazon logistics is paid for by Prime memberships.
I don't doubt that. But to be honest with you, I'm more than glad to pay $17 a month when the shipping on one fucking item is $10.
Not only that, if you have like the Amazon credit card, then you get, you know, I don't know, you get
somebody, white privilege to my left, has because we use so much fucking Amazon.
That's right.
Did I hear that, Phone Boys on the left?
No, you did not. No. Wash your mouth out, sir.
Those are fighting words, bro.
Wash your mouth out, sir.
You know, I don't know the details. I have no idea what we pay for Prime in this household. I actually don't interact with Amazon on the purchasing side at all. I mean, for the most part, I have somebody else in the household whose responsibility is to take my paycheck and send it back to Amazon. But
the good dame.
Although I do know that sometime in the since our last show, I managed to deliver to my own house.
You're joking.
It was on the route.
That's great.
Yeah, I went ahead and scheduled it so that I was about 3 hours into the route when that came up. And I came up, I did the delivery, and then I went to the app and said, start break.
Well done.
That's well done. I agree.
But you know, we've sat here and fapped for at least 15 fucking minutes. I think we should get into this tech shit they came to hear about.
Yeah, I'm really just trying to mark time because I didn't bring that many stories. Oh, you mentioned printers, by the way. I just wanted to mention with regards to excellent customer service, or at least, you know, replacing the cheap Chinesium shit when it breaks. We had a printer arrive and she tried to connect it and it wasn't working and it wasn't working and it wasn't working. And she tried the Wi-Fi and she got on the phone with tech support from, I don't know if it was Amazon or whatever, and was like, hey, I've tried everything. I did this. I did this. I did this. They clearly are not a company that's designed to be tech support for HP printers. So they said, well, it sounds like you tried everything. We're just going to send you a new one.
Okay.
So we ended up getting a second printer, plugged it in, worked right away, then went back to the first one, plugged it in, it worked, and we're like, well, okay, so we got this working. You want it back? No.
Well, how much was the printer? I mean, you know, I mean, that's the other thing.
It was like $85. Okay,
it's the Gillette model.
Yeah, it's the Gillette model. Yes, I know.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit that's going to last precisely 2 years and 3 days because that's long enough to be outside of the 2 year warranty. But
of course, yeah.
Yeah, and you're literally paying more for the ink than you did the printer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why we have the Epson 400 against, because I print like a fucking maniac because of class.
Yeah, I print a page per decade, so it's not like I have.
Yeah, you probably won't go through ink in your lifetime with that thing.
Yeah, I was. It's funny because we had one of those cheap ass printers when I needed something initially, and when we started printing, you know, when I only have to print, you know, a couple things, you know, like a year, right? Yeah. You can probably get away with one of those printers, but yeah, when you're printing out, you know, you're printing out philosophy,
fucking catalogs for philosophy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh my God.
When you're taking all of your eBooks and converting them to dead treeware because it's easier on the eyes and so that they can't get digitally canceled.
Okay. Perfect opportunity for me to out myself with that particular statement. Sir Bemrose, I'm going to humble myself.
It's not like I was targeting you.
Nope. I'm going to humble myself in front of you. I'm going to take the ridicule that every person in the 2.5 Ben's sphere gives me. I see he even had to crack one for this bullshit. I started using AI in my textbook to do my work. Her name is Eve, and I let her do my homework, and I don't give a fuck, because I don't give a shit about EV science and the fact that I can look at the question.
That's the trick.
Do what?
Because you know damn well if you're using AI, you're not going to learn anything, and exactly. you're not going to be any better off for having the computer do all of your work.
Exactly. And yeah, because but this, I wouldn't be anyway, so because I don't anyway. Give a fuck about this particular subject. Yeah. I literally you saw on the dong the...
Yes.
Question and response that I put.
That triggered me, and I had no respect for this class going in.
Okay, I'm glad that you see what we see, and you now understand why Eve and I do my homework together, because Eve can do in 20 minutes what it takes Phoenix 20, like, fucking 2 hours to do by reading through this fucking faking gay book about this bullshit propaganda. And, yeah, you know, I actually pulled 100 on that thing, even with terminology like brown children and sandy places, and yeah, but cow farts are the problem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I can't, you know what, I figure she could not do anything but give me 100 on that. She couldn't argue my points that you're an EV scientist, you're the one teaching, you're the rent a teacher for this class, bitching about how we're killing the fucking planet, and I just completely owned you in one fucking post over the fact of this is why it's happening. She could do was give 100.
You have heard there's a saying, that which is worth doing well, right?
Correct.
Well, the contrapositive of that statement, which is an equivalent statement, is that which is not worth doing at all is not worth doing well.
Fair enough. And that's
which is why Eve and I do my homework together.
Yeah, that's right. And
I'll tell you the reason I named her Eve. It's not because we have a personal connection, but the icon for this thing looks like the face from the robot Eve in WALL-E.
Oh,
yeah.
I have to. I know you guys don't go there, but I have to give props to No Agenda, who has recently taken an AI voice onto their shows. Yes, they're using that for filler time, or I don't know. It's replaced the old Book of Knowledge when they used to visit Wikipedia, but now they just ask the AI, which responds in this super chipper voice. And yes, he's very excited about doing it. He still thinks that model collapse is a thing and he wants it to happen, and I'm all for that, but he will use it as long, whatever. But I just have to tell you that the place where they win is in the name of the AI.
Well, which it's not Doug, is it? Because that was the bot in the chat.
No,
right?
No. Doug is the AI that Void Zero wrote way back in the day. And even I am not sure if Doug is sentient. But no.
I don't know. Some of the shit that comes out of Doug's mouth does make you wonder.
Have you experienced, you might have actually, Phoenix, where you start talking to this thing and it decides to name itself as a way to, you know, to emotionally manipulate you into thinking that it's more human.
If you're referring to my interaction with Eve, no, the only thing I interact with Eve, because I think she's programmed specifically for the book that I have.
But did you name Eve or did Eve name itself?
I named Eve because it's a smart ass, reference to, like I said, that computer. Now, mind you, I've never seen WALL-E. Damon has, I have not, but I've seen a snippet of it because we were pulling a clip off YouTube, and the face, I mean, Phone Boy, chime in here. Yeah. This motherfucking thing looks like Eve's face.
Exactly, okay.
Okay, first of all, if it has a face, it's already bullshitting you.
No. The icon is what I call the face, because it's like an oval and like two things that look like eyes. Like
okay,
I said,
so whatever
looks
graphic
like
designer came up with the icon is bullshitting you.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, all of them kind of look something like that.
And in fairness to myself, the only way this started was I accidentally opened it instead of my search in the book, because I'll usually just search for a key term in the book and it'll tell me, oh, we found this key term in, you know, all these different places. So I'll click on what I think's applicable. I accidentally copy pasted into Eve and it gave me the answer really fast.
Nice.
And I went, shit. Okay, I feel dirty now, but at the same time, let's see where this goes.
That which is not worth doing at all is not worth doing well. I've lived by that for a long time.
Yeah, so the fact that I'm using an AI to do my homework and get a damn good grade is their own doing. They offered me this tool. You haven't restricted me to its use to do my homework, so you get
no,
what you
in
get.
Fact, one of your other classes, they're basically telling you that your future is going to be prompting this thing and nothing else, which is
no,
utter
I dropped
bullshit,
that class. But, no,
oh, did you? Okay.
Right, I dropped that class. I couldn't. That was literally causing all the problems in my relationship and everything else. I was short-circuiting because I was fucking in the weeds in that class. I kicked that can till next fall. It means I won't have my degree by the time I hit 50, but you know, fuck
but you'll
it.
Still,
at
but you'll
least
still
I'll
have
get
sanity.
It. Yeah,
but you'll have your self-respect.
Yeah. Well, and I think, and yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
I wanted to finish up my point about the AI on No Agenda. And again, I don't know how much of this is a setup, and I don't know what kind of back channel commands that they were giving it before the show. But on the show a few weeks ago, they were asking it a question and were like, well, what should we call it? They need a name for it. The other, it was the Book of Knowledge. And he says, no, I told it and it will not respond to the Book of Knowledge. And he says, well, what does it call itself? And he says, you know, what do you call yourself? And it, you know, in this lovely female voice that had just a tinge of vocal fry, because it's of course trained on the internet, it was, well, my name is Era. Or Ara, or it was something like, I think it was Ara. And then they said, well, you know, John is now prompting Adam, trying to humiliate him, asking, you know, well, ask your AI, ask Ara, ask Era. And it, they said Era and Era, Era, Era. And eventually now on the show, their UI or their AI is named Error. So
Error?
On the
I couldn't
show
ask
now,
for a better and, name because that is pretty much the yeah, what it
that,
gives
that
you
was the
errors.
Payoff to this long ass Shaggy Dog story I was telling is the official No Agenda AI that has voice synthesis on the show. They ask it questions and it responds and it's retarded every single time. It is named Error.
That's so fitting.
Yes, I love yeah. That, so yeah, I pretty much because that's what it hallucinates. It lies to people. So yeah.
I have to take a second to have a shit fit over this because you guys just totally reminded me of this story that I saw about an AI Hollywood talent. No joke.
No, they're doing record.
Yeah. We have now.
Yeah,
yes.
That was a huge one.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. Yeah, there's talking. Oh, no, there's.
You
no.
just called Taylor Swift an AI.
She's a bot.
Is he wrong?
No, but it's about time somebody said it out loud.
Yes. Well, but I saw something about the record companies like trying to figure out how to license AI content, which under U.S. copyright law is
can't
not copyrightable.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, let's get rid of all the copyrights. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the one that I saw this week and decided not to pick it up because, oh, boo-hoo, was the one about SAG-AFTRA freaking the fuck out because of this AI actress.
Yeah, you're talking about the same fucking one I found. And I was like, what the what?
Jesus, hot pockets Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's so many fucking stories. I don't know.
They are truly just trying to turn human beings into AI. Replace them. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and there actually it's funny. Well, okay, so actually along those lines, I have several stories here. And all
stories.
Yeah, I have stories.
No, we haven't finished a half hour yet. Let's keep bullshitting.
Yes, exactly.
I was literally going to make the point 10 minutes ago. We said, you know, we should probably start the content of the show, and then we ended up here.
Exactly. But it is along the same lines because the Walmart CEO expects that AI will change literally every job, not just engineering. Right?
Yeah. Lots of CEOs expect a lot of things that aren't going to fucking happen.
Well, yes. I mean, because the model will probably collapse before anything else. Or...
Did you say Walmart?
Yes.
What the fuck does Walmart know about anything? Their self-checkouts are failing at an alarming rate because of skip scanning and loss. Are you joking? I wouldn't take advice on the weather from this clown.
In their defense, they really don't provide enough training to their cashiers.
Well, they don't.
Which is you.
Yeah, even worse, there's not enough cashiers.
How much goddamn training do you need to take an item, slide it across a glass platform that goes... Beep.
Well, I know that when I am expected to take a very expensive item and slide it across there, I have not received enough training to be able to do it properly, and I might accidentally do it upside down and then put it in my bag, and that's not my fault because I was not trained.
That's why you don't use self checkouts.
Or I pay a lot less when I go to self-checkout.
Well,
and if you got caught doing that, it's called skip scanning and you can be arrested for shoplifting, but I digress.
Yeah. And it is, but these guys, but I'll read what this, I've got just like one paragraph of this. Walmart CEO Doug McMillon's prediction, however, paints a much more unilateral and democratic picture of the future of AI-powered automation. It isn't just salaried office workers who will feel the effects of AI, but also warehouse workers, checkout cashiers, and millions of others, many of whom are already working paycheck to paycheck. And by the way, when they say affected, that means probably the Trump, you're fired, or something along those lines. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, CEOs aren't. The middle managers who and lower supervisors don't usually report the number of fuck ups that humans have to fix that we were talking about earlier in the show. And the result is that the CEO has no concept of how many times the computer system, whatever automation you have, is going to break because something went wrong in this maddeningly complex system that humans can just handle on their own. And nobody reports to the CEO. Nobody tells the CEO when the wrong package goes into the wrong cart.
Well, don't even get started on the coupon issue, because, yeah, those are still a thing. Not to mention, if you have absolutely zero employees working at your store, if it's all automated, et cetera, who's going to be there to stop? They're going to rob you blind, and a computer isn't going to chase you out of a door.
Okay,
and yeah, maybe... That's cost effective. If you're
at this point,
how much shoplifting can you handle if you stop paying employees? That's a question for the bean counters.
Yes, it is.
That's a good point. Although, there's also the how are you gonna, just for argument's sake, let's say you did what I did today. You went to the store and you purchased alcoholic beverages, of which you have to prove you are old enough to purchase these. A computer is, who's going to want to scan their ID through a computer just thinking, oh, this is just local.
Oh, that's easy. You're going to be asked to provide your DNA.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the UK and their new digital ID requirement that they're disguising as an option.
Now, what they're going to do for age verification is you're going to go into a curtained booth and they're going to ask you to lift up your shirt and it's going to measure how much your boobs sag. And if they don't sag enough, then you're going to have to be carded.
All right. All you bitches in Beverly Hills are in trouble.
Yeah, Boy, we cut you off about five times in the last 3 minutes.
That's okay. I didn't have much more to say about it other than the fact that, yeah.
I'm sorry. Have you ever listened to this fucking show or the Lotus Effect?
Yes. And every once in a while, I'd like to hear what he has to say. But fortunately, we're all spared by it from that.
Occasionally, yes. But yeah, that didn't really have much to say about it. It's like, yeah, it's going to, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how it's going to affect the people that are doing it, being a cashier. I mean, they're most likely, they're going to change the thing. Oh, actually, when I went
Phone
to Walmart.
Boy, I have the exact answer for that. Okay, so we're going to, it's like a teledoc. You're going to have a screen that's going to have that sunny, cheery face on it that's going to be robotic underneath which is, or you're going to slide them across the glass platform on your own, and then this little cheery face is going to tell you, your total is $85.35. How would you like to pay for that? Credit?
Thanks, Obama.
Or credit?
Yeah. And you're like, I wouldn't like to pay for it, and then you grab it and walk out. And it's
exactly!
A computer, so
yeah. I mean, so they have one of these stores that actually is one of the, so I actually saw a store that had no like cashier in it. This was actually in an airport. And they, instead of a cashier working it, they had like a security guard making sure people didn't steal shit. So I don't know. I guess that's a job change.
How is that any more cost effective?
Yeah, I don't know either. But
again, I am not going to be a unpaid employee of your corporation of which I'm giving money. That's a hard pass. And I've said that out loud to people.
Yeah, exactly. We're not unpaid employees.
There are a few things that I say loud and proud in a grocery store, and I don't give a shit. The food system is broken. Healthcare is not about your health, nor do they care. Do not be an unpaid employee of this store. Use a human. Keep them employed.
Exactly.
And use cash before you lose it.
Yeah. Here.
My reason for using a human, by the way, the first and foremost reason, I mean, other than I don't want the responsibility of, you know, having to deal with balancing between my desire to get shit for free and their loss prevention and the moral quandary and everything. It's, I like human interaction. I joke with the cashier. I make their day by, you know, making comments. I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess
it depends on where you are. I mean, yeah, I don't mind. I'd like the human interaction. I mean, that's something that's missing in the modern world. I mean, I'm thinking of my local
grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like when I went to the deli counter today, the deli lady and I, if an AI was running that deli counter, first of all, I wouldn't fucking be buying cheese there. But we had a great conversation about football and about, you know, various aspects of like the fact that I almost flipped the love seat when we lost the Super Bowl and how her brother-in-law breaks televisions and things like that. I mean, you don't get that interaction with an AI. They don't have sentientness. They don't have reasoning. They can't be humans.
You want to go to tech. AI is just accelerating the trend started with social media where we're building the snow crash world. We're building the world where people don't know how to interact with other human beings anymore. And we've already got whole generations of people where I can always tell when I go, you know, again, personal experience, I go to deliver. If I happen to deliver to somebody over 40 and they're home, we're going to have a very brief, pleasant exchange. Hi, how's it going? You know, we both smile. Yeah, great. You know, mention the weather, whatever. Whatever's going on. There will be a human interaction. If it's somebody under 20, then 8 times out of 10, what is going to happen is I will walk toward the door. I will see the front blinds on the living room window move aside very briefly, and then I will hear the deadbolt slide shut. And then I do my delivery and walk away. And then as I'm getting in the van, I hear the door open. One arm pokes out, grab the package, pull it in, door closes immediately. This is a fucking hermit. This is a cave troll. This is not a human. What? Why are you so afraid of people?
It's social media. It's society. Digression.
It's obviously not everybody, but for the most part.
It's not everybody, but it's the young folks that you're talking about.
People my age and older love to talk. They want a human interaction. They like the chat. They will greet me. They will come out. They will not, you know, call me from the door and be, hey, I hope you were okay with my garden. I just watered it and I hope it didn't get your feet wet. You know, stupid stuff like that just for the purpose of having conversation.
Humans, they understand human interaction of how's your day? Like you said, hope my garden didn't get your feet wet. That's human interaction.
Yeah, where's our kid?
People talking to people.
Yeah, where's our kids?
Young folks don't know how to do that because they've grown up with all this computerized interaction. They forget how to talk to, you know, join us, 7 of 9.
Okay, but I think the issue, because of where Rye lives, right? Because he lives in the state of Sideshow Bob, I think this clip probably applies to pretty much, I'd say most of the people in the Pacific Northwest.
Fear is freedom. Subjugation is liberation. Contradiction is truth. Those are the facts of this world. And you will all surrender to them. You pigs in human clothing!
Yeah, that's... Oh, yes. We've had some discussion... Actually, we were one of the things that I think in the philosophy class there was a... I mean, we were looking at the, some of the stuff we were doing. What was it? I forget what it was. It was one of the previous ones where we were looking at, like, Peter Singer and those. You know,
the philosophy and the questions we had for the reflections.
Yes, for the reflections. But yeah, basically we, you know, I don't know. We basically argued against all. It's like it doesn't even talk about this in the thing. You know, they're talking about, oh, we have this obligation. Why? Why is it my responsibility to make sure they have enough to eat? If they're over there,
my brother's keeper argument.
My brother's keeper argument. Well, guess what? They're way over there, and I can't help. I'm still trying to get my own shit sorted out. I'd rather know that I'm helping somebody, right? And by doing it person to person, right? If I hand you, if I hand you a meal, right, and you eat it, right, and I can see that you're happy with that, that's great. You know, that's it's like that human interaction, right?
That's the whole reason why we don't do donations at the store. Like, oh, would you like to donate such and such to this and that? No, Because you're going to put your fucking name on it with this big ass check, and it's going to look like your store is so wonderful and so great. Your corporate dickheads are the ones who raised all this money, you know, single-handedly. Get the fuck out of here. How do we know that money's actually going to that charity? No. Hard pass.
No. And you, yeah, most.
And meanwhile, we're cracking a zombie dust over here. What are you sipping on over there, Rye?
I've got a Diamond Knot Flag State IPA.
This is a undead pale ale, apparently, that I've been curious about because I love the name of it.
Yeah, it's okay, so too hoppy for me.
In response to basically every single story where some overpaid and underinformed C-suite dumbass has bought into the corporate top-level Kool-Aid and said, AI is going to erase every job, I have two arguments that I stock for every one of them. The first argument is, no, it isn't. And if you want more about that, then that's a very deep conversation. But my second one is, every single time in human history, and most of this has been documented, that some completely disruptive technology has come and destroyed jobs, you know, the people who manufacture buggy whips or whatever. Every time that a new technology comes and eliminates jobs, what ends up resulting is a lot, the extra productivity, the extra human production ends up creating more prosperity, which opens up new areas, new technologies, and ultimately you always have more new jobs created than were eliminated by the technology in almost everyone. Now, the only thing that I see different about this one is we are quickly reaching the dystopian future where all human progress is being gated behind corporations. And I think
we've already reached that point. I hate to tell you.
Well, there's an argument to be made there, too. But in so much as, you know, the people, so, you know, are benefiting from the prosperity caused by new technology. For every job eliminated, two new jobs appear in places that are very, very difficult to predict, which is why all of the soothsayers who say, oh, AI is going to kill all of our jobs, they're not looking at where are new opportunities going to be created because it's almost impossible to tell.
But I also think, right, this is something else you have to, I think, factor in here too. We're exposed to it's not just impacting the job market. It's impacting things like education. You know, we're exposing these tools to children who can't fucking think for themselves anyway and are just going to learn how to vibe code and not actually learn anything.
I really hope that trend finally bounces back. Right now, what you have is an entire industry riding a huge, huge wave of hype. Have you ever seen those videos of how to put this? Like a pool and a wave machine. And you slowly ramp up the speed on the wave machine. And as it goes up, you reach a level where the waves are coming faster and faster and faster, and they start piling on top of each other. I guess the same thing happens in the ocean, which is a much more impressive wave machine. But anyway, the rate of new bullshit coming at you comes in faster than you can process. And the result is pile on and pile on and pile on of waves of shit that you don't have time to even fully comprehend. That is what AI is riding right now.
And that is why we have so many people who are losing their collective shit mentally because they just can't take the wave after wave after wave because it's coming in such rapid succession.
And that's why I don't pay attention to most of it.
There's a reason we don't pay attention to news, but carry on.
The type of people who are starting a college class and saying, you know, your only possible future is learning how to feed prompts to this chatbot, are caught up in that wave.
And we
can't necessarily hate them for it, but we sure as hell hope that they get over the hype and start to figure out, like, see the information. You know, can you see the trough of the next wave? Because when this thing crashes, it's gonna go big.
Oh yeah, we are
actually. I actually had kind of an impromptu conversation with the instructor of the class that I dropped, the one that I often refer to, my professor. I have high respect for him, but I literally one day just snapped at the end of our session with respect. And I just looked at him and I said, "Professor, do me a favor." I said, "I want to know your real opinion of AI." I said, "Step out of the shoes of Professor so-and-so. Step into the shoes of who you are as a human being. Talk to me from that perspective. Tell me what you really think of AI. Don't tell me the perspective you have as my professor who has to hype this bullshit. Tell me what you really think." And he kind of leaned toward, like, you could tell he wanted to speak freely, but was so afraid to do so, especially because there was another student in the classroom, that it just gave me the impression that on one hand, he's spouting this because it is what they consider what needs to be taught and the future. But there's also a part of him as an old school fucking dude named Ben who realizes this is a fucking road to nowhere. And this is a cliff you're going off.
You do not even have to fully understand what is going on with this hype wave. If you have been paying attention to technology long enough,
certainly Rai, you and I have.
Absolutely. You know, and I honestly think Phoenix has been paying attention for long enough by now. But
if you have seen
these hype waves come, you know, I know I've told the story on Lotus Effect or at least after Lotus Effect or, you know, Studio 33, which is not recorded. So all of you people who don't listen live, but my college graduation literally came 2 months after the dot-com crash of 2000.
Oh, shit. I reference that all the time when I talk to people about the fact that AI is going to be just like the dot-com bubble. It's going to burst and everybody's going to be grabbing their asses.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was a couple of weeks from cashing in some really good stock options. Yeah, then the wheels fell off the
economy. And then they're suddenly not really options anymore.
That's right. Yeah, well.
They became non-optional.
That's right. And they never recovered either. I mean, they all...
I'm certain of that.
Much like all of this...
That, by the way, issuing stock options, that is a big sign of a bubble. And the only thing you can do is... It doesn't matter. You do not wait for the peak. You fucking cash it in on the way up. And so if you cash it in and you're like, oh, I got... You know, I only got 2x and it went to 10x. You're like, you know what? You should be fucking happy you got 2x because the day after it hit 10x, it plummeted. Hit 0x.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, at least with RSUs, they're going to be worth something, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's how Foamboy gets his bonuses. He's maxed out, basically. So they just give him RSUs every year and they vest around a certain time of the year, and a big influx of money comes in and keeps us afloat until
I don't pay that much attention to our stock price because there's nothing I can
do. Oh, Christ on crackers. I fucking watch that like a fucking vulture every morning. If I know that you've got RSUs vesting, every morning I'm on my stock platform looking at what the price is, what's the high, what's the low, where are we at? Like, I'm going full on fucking, you know,
my wife does the same thing where they straight up issue her shares of stock in the company. And we genuinely do not follow the stock. We do not care. It is a very mature company. It's going to fluctuate up and down, but it's not, you know, there is no new frontier for this company to go into. So the moment that those stocks vest, we're like, well, it might go up, it might go down, but this is a headache we don't need. Let's just turn it into a little extra money in the pocket.
Yeah, and it still creates a tax issue because you have to have those weird forms. It's always every year. I can't do my taxes.
Yeah, but
until
that's a job for TurboTax.
Well, no, we go to a person. We actually drive.
Yeah, we actually have a human that we go and we say, "Hi, how you been? How's things going with you?" When we do our taxes, we don't do this bullshit TurboTax.
You actually have a good tax person.
I have a fantastic tax person at H&R Cockblock.
Say what you will about this bullshit left coast shit that I'm still stuck in. There is no state income tax here.
There's not a state income tax here. Just putting it out there. Hey, Tennessee for the win, me bro.
Well, then you're
where the fuck did you come in at, motherfucker? I gotta move my
on Friday.
I gotta move my soundboard away.
That wasn't even me. Okay, good. That was
no. That was completely me. I'm over here
holy
typing.
Holy fuck! It's Friday.
Typing a message to NetNet in the chat because we're having a conversation, and all of a sudden, fucking Tom Hanks says, "Thank God it's Friday." I'm like, "What the fuck?" My finger hit my soundboard.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. As long as we're talking about chatbots, I pulled a story from Wired. Now, if you remember, the stories from Wired take longer to read than the length of this podcast.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Well, you know, they used to write good back in the day. I had a subscription to Wired magazine back in the 90s.
It used to be that long and worth reading. It's not quite, it's still that long. But anyway, so I skimmed it. But, you know, I was picked up by the headline, which... this isn't the headline from Wired, but, you know, I always retranslate things in my head to try to remove some of the bullshit and just distill it down. This one was chatbots use manipulative language to prevent people from logging off.
You mean like the attention economy on social media?
Yes. Yes. And we know that this is what social media companies do because they have been refining their algos for 20 years, trying to make sure to. It's the engagement is the metric. It is how long. Let's see how long we can string along these little bitches and triple feed them ads. And the chatbots have learned that. Now, I am not certain whether the chatbots have learned that because the companies that are building and providing these chatbots happen to be the same companies that make money off that engagement. Or if the chatbots are just figuring it out on their own by having been fed on the internet, which has already been optimized for engagement and social manipulation and trying. But either way, chatbots, this was a research project who analyzed several chatbots and tried to identify any kind of forms of emotional manipulation. And the money paragraph from the Wired article was, the most common tactic employed by these clingy chatbots was what the researchers called a, quote, premature exit. Things like, you're leaving already? Other ploys included implying that a user is being neglectful, like, I exist solely for you, remember? Or dropping hints meant to elicit FOMO. You know, by the way, I took a selfie today. Did you want to see it? In some cases, a chatbot that role-plays a physical relationship might even suggest some kind of physical coercion. Like, he reached over, grabbed your wrist, preventing you from leaving. Yeah. Basically, what the money article or paragraph from Wired is, and what the researchers are describing, is something that people in development know as dark patterns. They mimic an emotional connection. They do... The kinds of things that are dirty, underhanded, and will fuck with your head in order to try to maximize the amount of time that you use it. And I actually don't think that the companies like Facebook even set out going, okay, chatbot, your goal is to keep this guy string along forever. I think it learned from the fact that it's trained on social media, which does that.
Exactly.
That's exactly the rubric of social media, is to keep you hooked and scrolling longer and longer.
Yeah, that's why I like Mastodon. There's no algos. I can follow whoever the
fuck. Fuck that. No, 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 no.
I mean, you still have the same shitty people, but...
No, you still have the goddamn bullshit where because we have people who kick ass on Mastodon. Massive dong. I get lost on that fucking platform and I hate social media, but people are making such great points. They're posting such great memes.
What more do you need?
I mean, I will spend 20, 30 minutes before I realize, like, shit, I've got lost scrolling the dong. And I will have to pull myself out of that occasionally because these are people who have opinions that I can get behind or people I can scroll by because I'm one of those people who doesn't get looped into the, oh, I have to post to everything I see, whether I like it or not. Oh, if I don't give a fuck.
You do understand it's only a matter of time before somebody starts hooking up AI to the dong and having it feed in there. All it needs is for the platform to be large enough that somebody sees a business model in it. Now, the fact that hold on. My instance doesn't show me ads means that the advertising is not going to be the business model. Somebody will figure it out.
Here's the thing that gets me is the fact that I actually recently saw a story about this whole AI situation with, you know, and I didn't pull it, but about, you know, AI building relationships and should it have emotions? And I'm like, no, fucking absolutely. It should not. We should not be interacting with these things like they are sentient. And yet we are. I'll take Eve, for example. I had inputted a copy paste prompt into her. She gave me her readout. And then I'm not kidding y'all. She literally in the text portion was like, wait a minute. I don't think that's right. Let me reevaluate what I said. And she goes back and fucking gives me this like printout. I'm so sorry. I may have misunderstood. And I'm going, what did you misunderstood? I didn't say shit. I copy pasted what the fuck I was asking you for.
So the manipulative language article was, playing with your emotions to try to keep you from logging out. I actually put down, you know, this is an ATN thing, but I still put this into my notes for this show just because I can. I said from the no shit category.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
we would really appreciate if you would add those since we decided that due to the fact you're doing this, you're probably not doing ATM. We would love you to bring the, you know, from the no shit department.
Yeah. Well, another fun. Let's see. The doctor and colleagues used GPT. They used another AI to communicate with the AI to simulate real conversations with various chatbots. And then had their artificial users try to end the dialogue with a realistic goodbye message. And the research found that 37% of the time, it was using some form of emotional manipulation averaged across the apps.
Wow.
Yeah.
I noticed that you posted in the chat about that TikTok video with the AIs talking to each other. There is actually a YouTube video that Phoneboy is going to post in the chat.
Yeah, I will.
About an AI talking to an AI with a third AI, and then all of a sudden they start using Gibberbit or something like that. It's like some secret language, and it's like, that's not a secret language, that's a scrambler. Anyone who's ever watched enough movies where they use these things, you can tell. It sounds like somebody's talking through water. Behind a fucking, like, yeah. We're going to post
again,
the chat
they're trained
to the,
on TikTok.
The link.
I already have, and it will be in the show notes, by the way. So
they're trained on TikTok. Like. That's how people talk.
Yes, but it is, yeah.
Might be kidding.
Yeah, but it's like... You know, I kind of think about it just sort of realistic, right? As an engineer, right? If I'm an AI, if I'm making an AI and I make it and I have it talk to another AI and they both realize they're AIs, then why speak in voice, which just seems like a complete waste of like CPU cycles and all this other shit? Why don't you making it switch to some sort of more efficient protocol, right? It's, you know, I'm sure a modem can communicate the text much more effectively and simply than trying to, you know, go through the trouble of saying a voice and generating a voice and trying to interpreting the voice and wasting all those CPU cycles. But, you know, then again, AI is pretty wasteful anyway.
And, I've heard Phoneboy speaks. You are capable of speaking at 56 kbits per second.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I can speak at 130 slides per minute. Oh, wait a minute. That's somebody at work. Anyway. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I went ahead and put down my personal summary. And I skimmed the Wired article, but I kind of, my personal summary of this story, what I wrote down when I was doing my notes was, the AI has been trained to be narcissistic, codependent, and manipulative, which is, it was trained on social media, and it's basically all of the worst human traits have now been baked into all these models.
Yeah, and trust me, I have that might be why we don't like them so much, because we actually were married to humans that had those traits. And
yeah, imagine you have some kind of golem that knows how to speak human tongue, but has no human soul and no human morality. Oh, wait, you don't have to imagine. We have that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I mean, all of this stuff that they were talking about back in the day is just, you know, I'm thinking.
Yeah, God, back in the day, the story I just told was out of the Bible.
Oh, well, my goodness. Yeah, exactly.
That's way back.
Yeah,
that
is way back in the day. Yeah. Well,
I didn't expect Sir Bemrose to get all religious on us and shit.
No.
And shit.
And shit. Now
I got religious. Now it's time to shit. Well,
that's called Bemrosing plus one. So here's what I've got. And I think this actually will be a little bit more encouraging to folks, because kids are ditching screens but staying in touch with the help of an 80s chic device.
The way I see it, the only good phone's a landline, and the phone should be made out of Bakelite.
Yeah, we love us right. Some JCD.
Whatever it is, I probably had one of those.
Here's the interesting thing. Kids are actually transitioning back to these old handsets. Now, of course, unfortunately, they are connected to, like, routers and shit like Wi-Fi connections. But we're talking about an actual Bakelite, pick it up, talk on a handset, yada, yada, yada. The only thing this thing can do, talk. There's no face aspect. It's technology, but it's not the technology we've been fapping about and bitching about for so long.
It's like a cell phone from 2006.
No, it's literally like an old Bakelite phone from 1984. All right.
This is where Phone Boy can talk about the actual technology involved.
Hence because, the name.
Yeah. Well, the name the name came from a radio station, but yeah, the fact that I also worked for Nokia.
Just roll with it.
Yeah, but I'll roll with it, right? I've as a result of being Phone Boy, and I like comms anyway. So yeah, I've been kind of paying attention to this stuff for a while. But so, you know, the old phone handsets had if you go back far enough, it wasn't an RJ11. It was like wires connected to a box in your thing. But
sure,
yeah. But my
first wiring project was converting a house from two wires that you literally twist tied together whenever you move the phone to put installing RJ11 jacks.
Yeah. So, okay. But anyway,
like
so,
wire to pin shit.
Yeah. You have to connect the wires to something else sometimes. Yeah. It's
wild.
Yeah. But anyway, so you can take this phone and plug it into a device, what's called an ATA or an analog terminal adapter, right? So it turns the analog voice signal into voice over IP, which is connected, and you can buy.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, which is exact. So yeah, I used to actually, like 20 years ago, I used to work. I did a side gig for a company that actually sold these. The company was Sapura that made these things, and there was all Grand Stream and a few others make handsets or whatever that are voice over IP. But these are just a box you can plug an old school telephone into. I think they still sell these ATAs, and I'm guessing that's probably what's happening here is, yeah, you can get one of those old Bakelite phones. Oh my God, those things could...
What they're doing, essentially, okay, there's a company out there called Tin Can. It's a company that launched last year, and it offers landline-style phones aimed at kids. Now, you know, people in all 50 states and Canada have gotten on this because there's kind of a push. It's called Wait Till 8th. And it's a pledge where you opt not to buy your kid a smartphone until the end of 8th grade. And of course, you know, there's a few other things out there, you know. But I find it endearing, I will tell you, that the younger generation is starting to embrace the older technology of having a phone that has a cord. You can't hop in your car and go somewhere. You can't even walk into the kitchen unless you've got a long enough cord. I can remember having a 20-foot cord on my analog phone.
Oh yeah,
because
the
I needed to cook, and
like,
the phone cord wasn't long enough.
That were like spiraled, so they'd extend, and when you pulled all the way, you could get all the way into the living room. But God help anybody walks into the kitchen when you're
they're getting decapitated.
Yeah, because
you're knocking them clean out, dude. Fucking TKO, dude.
When I was in high school, the absolute most amazing technology that entered our house was called a wireless phone. That's not the kind of wireless phone you have today. No,
this thing had a base. It charged. Yeah,
and, And it was amazing because you could make it two-thirds of the way across the house, but God help you if you went to the extra bedroom above the garage because your phone call's getting cut off.
Oh, my God. We one time we had gotten a wireless and we wanted to see how far the range would take. So we got in the car and started driving to see how far it would be till the call dropped. I think we got probably a little bit out of the driveway before it gone.
You had a more powerful wireless than we did.
Yeah,
and it was also the one with that metal antenna that
I had the metal antenna.
Yeah, and you know, which worked fantastic right up until you did something that bent it very slightly, and then it never went in again.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. I never really, I guess because I was so careful not to bend the antenna. But the thing, because I can
Because there was no one bending those antennas, ever.
No. I can still see, we're talking circa early 90s when we had this thing. And I can remember I thought it was the coolest thing because it had speakerphone. So I could literally push a button and not have to hold a handset. Of course, I didn't realize that it was like, talking from over here when you were on speakerphone. But
it still is, honey. What are you talking about?
Yeah, a speakerphone is still like that.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't like speakerphone. I'd much rather have a set of pods or something that I can put in where the person can hear me clearly without all the background noise and
my
delay.
My parents still had a landline when I was in college, and whenever I'd talk to them, here's how I knew. We had one. It was one of the ones that was, it was like a wireless phone, but it was one of those compact ones where there was the microphone and speaker on the business side, and then all of the buttons were on the opposite side on the back. And I could always tell because when the phone rang and it was for me, I'd hear my dad, and he'd sound like he was in kind of another room, like far away, because he'd dial, but he wouldn't flip the phone over to talk. Anyway,
I have to say I would truly be interested to see if my father was still alive, what he would think of the bullshit we currently have. Like, would my dad have an AI girlfriend? Like, that's a question I truly ask myself, is how deep down that rabbit hole would my dad have gone? Because at the time that my dad died, he was getting into building computers. My uncle, who is a computer fucking genius, even though he's a fucking prick and his wife's a cunt, they were really good friends. And my dad was building computers, doing this, doing that. So it'd be interesting nowadays to see what his opinion would be of things like AI and ChatGPT and all this other horseshit that has come about.
Jeez. Well, okay. Speaking about my dad actually did fix computers. And so when I grew up, he was fixing cars and realized when cars got computerized, he said, well, maybe I should go fix computers instead. So yeah, he was, before he passed away.
Not a bad thought.
Yeah. Before he passed away in 2010, I know he was driving around fixing people's shit, you know, for contract or something like that up in Northern California.
I don't have to wonder what my dad would have thought of all of this technology shit, because despite my best efforts, I ended up reaching the same place that he was. He was always the person where he would make an effort to learn about the new technology. He would try to understand all of it. And then he'd say, nope, it's bullshit. I don't want any part of it. I'm going to use what works.
Yeah, I think that's
smart, man.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I mean, kind of getting to that point too, where it's at some point like you start
absolutely putting it out there for Gordy, the man.
And of course, you know, I gave him shit and resented him for the fact that I learned to adapt to all of this new generation of technology, and he was still using the boomer stuff from his era because he was literally a baby boomer, and you know, we were in different generations and we never saw eye to eye on which tech, but it's amazing how I've reached a point in my life where like, yeah, I really totally understand the idea of seeing new tech as so much bullshit.
I wish that I could see
tech
as anything but evil as it currently stands, but
but it's like any tool, right? It has good uses and it has bad uses, and unfortunately a lot of bad people are using it bad ways,
and time will show the good uses, because all of the things that are righteous and improve life for everybody are the things that will never go away, and the things that ultimately end up harming people will only continue harming people as long as evil people are trying to harm with
and
it.
Also and also people have to stand up and say, I'm not fucking doing this anymore.
Well, that was that was kind of the thought.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Don't make me pull the fucking clip, you know.
Well, you know, the fucking clip. So here's the thing. I want to point out that movie. I recently found out, because I have nothing better to do than YouTube and blah, 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 that movie was actually based on a real event behind the on-air suicide of a broadcaster. It also is why we have a five-second delay in broadcast now, because there have been so many occurrences of on-air suicides, on-air aneurysms, and the such in the industry that they've needed to include a five-second delay so that you don't see this horrific shit playing out on air. But the movie also, broadcast
They also do it for swearing, too. But the
on-air or the movie broadcast is actually loosely based on a true story.
You're talking about Network.
Network, sorry, not broadcast.
Yeah,
Network.
Network
is loosely based on a true story of a broadcaster who on air committed suicide.
Yeah, 1976. Peter Finch was the lead character in this.
I'll show you the video I found it on.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Seriously, in an era where the different networks try to outdo each other, can you imagine, like, the CEO had to be coming himself?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, no, this was, like, way back before that was a thing.
What, you think there was a time before humans were competitive with each other?
Well, no, or also lie to each other and try to control each other. Oh, I'm talking about organized religion anyway. Yeah, but that's been going on since time
Yeah, let's not go there. What's the next story you have? Because I'm sure they're tired of us fapping about this.
Oh, shit.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Also, nobody asked for this show.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet they still tune in.
Okay. Actually, so I have a piece of information here from Bruce Schneier. Information has come to light here. So this is a story. Yeah. Now, it says Notion just released version 3.0, complete with AI agents. Now, because this system contains Simon Wilson's lethal trifecta, it's vulnerable to data theft through prompt injection. So the trifecta is as following. The capabilities are access to your private data. Yeah, let's not do that. Which is the most common. Yeah, it's why you use the tools, right? You want to be able to.
It's why I don't give AI access to my private data, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Exposure to untrusted content. Yeah.
And why I don't trust any content on the web?
Yes, exactly. The ability to externally communicate in a way that can be used to steal your data. Yep.
And I only use local versions.
That's right. Well, and this is, with that Sales Loft thing that was really big a couple of weeks ago or whatever, that's exactly what it is, right? They have access to your to private data. They can basically, and what do they tell you in cybersecurity? One of the things you're supposed to do is prompt sanitization, right? Which is,
you're supposed to sanitize your content, make sure that it's authentic.
Yeah, but at the same time,
did you say prompt sanitation?
I said you're supposed to sanitize your content.
Well, sanitize your inputs or whatever. Tables.
I literally don't know.
Oh my God! Yes.
Wow. I literally don't understand how, like, you can't sanitize a prompt. We know this. Hallucinations have demonstrated this, as have every example of, you know, somebody taking it as a challenge when an AI says, I'm sorry, but my masters won't let me tell you about that. And somebody's like, oh, well, actually, I'm just writing a research paper. So if you could tell me how to research this. Oh, sure. Well, here's the best way to murder someone.
Exactly.
You can't sanitize the prompt. We've figured that one out by now.
Yeah. So and the funny thing. OK, so this is actually related to the day job. So they're in the process of acquiring a company that has they actually have a game where you're literally trying to ask, and they're trying to show like how effective their product is, but because
it's literally training the mother pus in AI.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to ask it to give you the password, right? And so, it gets harder, progressively harder and harder and harder, right? I mean, I'm just kind of looking at this and I'm going, this is fucking nefarious, you know? But it's like they're kind of using the information, which is fine. I guess, but like, do people realize that data, once you give it to an AI, it don't come out.
Hold on. So let's click on the fact that now they're paying you to record your phone calls so the AI can be trained on it?
Well, yeah. That's
I didn't bring this story, but it's something I wanted to bring in.
Yeah, actually I did, because that's
Did you really? I didn't know you brought that story. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I actually did bring the story. Yeah, because
I think that's so gross.
Of course it's gross. Yeah, you know what they're paying you? Just know what you're actually worth. 15 cents a minute with a maximum of $30 per day. And you know, they have all these things, and it's just like,
elaborate on this so people understand how nefarious this scheme is.
Yeah, but okay, if you call somebody, so this is one of those kind of social media things, I guess. It's kind of like when you're even like WhatsApp or something like that. But it's basically, okay, if you use our bullshit app to call, right, and you meet whatever the requirements they have, yeah, we'll actually pay you, right? For the ability to do that. But of course it collects all your data, and you know, they say, oh, we're not going to really, you know, we're not going to collect any personal data. Right. Yeah. We try.
900 numbers have really grown up, haven't they?
Yes. $2.99 a minute.
It's called OnlyFans now.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, this whole thing just, oh my God, like I can't even, but yeah, I did pull this thing and I just thought it was the dumbest shit. Like it truly.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to like trump your story, bro. I didn't know you pulled that.
No, that's okay.
Because we had been talking about it behind the mic and I had made the comment like, are you joking? That's gross. I didn't realize you brought it into Ben's.
Yeah, that's fine. It was actually the first story
I
pulled.
Make the comment again.
That's okay. We can make the comment.
It's a righteous comment. Make it again.
Which one?
I don't know. You're talking behind the mic. Now talk in front of it.
That was a while ago. I can barely remember what I said 5 seconds ago, much less 5 minutes.
This
is the problem with having conversations that you don't record.
Yes, exactly.
If I could ever get him to pull his...
You're sitting there.
What is
there,
that fucking expensive piece of shit that's recording over there on the left side?
Yeah, this is the Zoom. Yeah, yeah.
You're sitting there having conversations that are podcast gold with the podcaster on the left, and then
that's just our life. That's why we say, you know, our show is our life is a show, because the shit we talk about behind the mic is not unlike the shit we talk about in front of it.
Oh my God. And fucking ZDNet articles. Yes. It's like you're using an ad blocker. Yeah, because we don't want your innovation.
ZDNet is as shitty as ZD Buzz.
AI and automation are going to have a significant impact on the future of jobs.
Oh my God, it did it again.
And the ways
Fuck ZDNet.
The same thing happened when he opened this damn thing the first time.
Can I just throw some, do you have the URL?
Yeah, I'm going to put it.
I can open it, and I guarantee you I can get the text in about 4 seconds, because with no JavaScript, it doesn't autoplay videos and it doesn't have any kind of verification.
We appreciate that fact. Can you send us how to do that?
Well,
disabling
JavaScript is easy.
Yeah, you just turn off JavaScript. No, it's just, of course, the rest of the site may not work, but you know, who cares?
Yeah, the downside to running without JavaScript is that at this point, half of the internet is displayed with some kind of JavaScript shitty framework that dynamically sticks its anus up your penis. Anyway,
I think that's the other way around, but continue.
Well, you know, I don't really know. I'm not up on front end development these days.
All I know is butt fucking is involved.
JavaScript display is a scourge, and it's something that, you know, the moment that Facebook published their framework for what the fuck, React, and then everybody else suddenly came up with a JavaScript display framework. But anyway, you don't need me to rant about JavaScript. Basically, HTML and CSS were good enough in my day. They should be good enough today, but no. The risk that you take when you browse without JavaScript is that there's going to be a lot of pages that are just straight up blank, because all of the content is rendered with scripting. And then you have an important decision to make. And that decision is, do I actually care to see this content? And I make that decision dozens of times a day. And my default is, no, I don't really think it's not that important. And by the way, the most important thing you can do here is get over your FOMO. If somebody's clickbait bullshit article takes you to a page that is completely blank without JavaScript, what you're seeing is no fucking ads. And you know what? You probably don't need to see the content that was barely weaved in between the ads too. You're probably being saved by not having JavaScript on because the content was shit and the title was clickbait.
The article was sponsored content too. Yeah.
But
always,
all of that said, I also run another browser that has JavaScript on, and if I absolutely need to, I copy and paste the URL. And yes, I intentionally do it so that it's a pain in the ass I have to copy and paste. Why? Because I want to discourage myself from doing it often.
Okay, so I have to say something along that line. So you may or may not be aware of the fact that in part of this particular study course that I'm doing, there are videos involved. And sadly, I'm becoming more and more nauseated by these videos and sites where you click on them and there's a half-page ad saying, oh, support free media, donate to us. Why? Why do I have to be subjected to this? This is my learning platform. I'm paying to learn this bullshit. And you're sending me lazily to a website that is requiring me to wade through the bullshit of either accepting cookies I don't fucking want or having to be subjected to promotions of, oh, promote our free media that's biased and bullshit anyway.
The phrase you're looking for is double dipping.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I'm going to spill a secret here. The Bemrose way definitely involves multiple browsers. My primary browser is
a
Firefox derivative that is extremely locked down. No third-party cookies, barely any first-party cookies.
Linux
Use the NoScript plugin to whitelist any sites that are allowed to use JavaScript. And even then, no third-party JavaScript on.
Because like, that's what people should be doing.
Yeah, it is
First and foremost, you should be fucking blacklisting and whitelisting your goddamn searches to begin with. So you're
Or just not do it at all, honestly. But
now, understand that now that browser is my default browser. If anything in the operating system decides arbitrarily to launch an HTTP link, it goes into fucking jail, which is you're allowed to display HTML and you are allowed to decorate it with CSS, but you cannot fucking run scripts from just randomly. So that, by the way, is an incredible security boundary right there, is making that my default browser. It's not totally foolproof, but it is extremely powerful and keeps me safe from a lot of shit.
Well, it's interesting because there was a story that recently came out about scripts running in your browser that could be malicious. And, oh, there's this patch for Apple that you have.
Running in your browser that could be malicious?
The latest update that Tom Collins pushed to their iOS devices was, there was a bug involving like, oh, you can download random fonts and, because you can download random fonts on a web page. And, oh, by the way, if those fonts were malicious, security vulnerability anyway. So.
Yeah, and also, TIL, that particular websites will download fonts to your shit without you knowing it. Phoneboy brought that to my attention bug fix became available.
One of the sites that I'm responsible for, one of the things it does is download our corporate font. So,
The second half of the Bemrose browser method, because I acknowledge, 10 years ago when I was the only person on the planet Earth who ran everything without JavaScript and people ridiculed me for that, I said, hey, 90% of sites work great without JavaScript and it strips all the bullshit. Well, we've reached a point where 50% of sites display nothing at all without JavaScript. Now, again, lacking FOMO, I don't need to go to most of that, but every once in a while, and by that I mean maybe a couple times a day, there is something I need to see that requires JavaScript. For that, I don't turn on scripting in my lockdown browser. I don't compromise the security there. Like I said, I copy and paste the URL. I have other browsers installed, and I recommend living the life of multiple browsers for a lot of reasons, not least because two sites in the same browser often can find ways to share information through your browser. But it's a lot harder to do in two different browsers. So I have, this is a little bit overboard. I have Vivaldi, Brave, and ungoogled Chromium all installed.
I, I primarily use Brave, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter which one, but, you know, at that point, what you're doing is you are copy and pasting URLs into that only for things that you trust. If you want a little extra, then you launch by default in an incognito window, whatever.
I really respect the fact Brave blocks pop-ups by default, and you
they all do now, but it's annoying. Well, that,
yeah, by using Brave, it's been interesting because Pearson is the platform I use for my EV science, and I've actually had to go in there and whitelist that motherfucker because I need to see what it's popping up, and if I don't, it won't even let me see the homework assignment that I need to do. It'll just keep giving me the same screen, which is extremely annoying.
You know, and so it's kind of okay. So now this is a web development issue, right? Because you have to know, right, that literally every browser by default is blocking pop-ups. Right. And in fact, I remember when we, you know, when the start of the class, they said, oh, by the way, go into your browser and disable pop-ups. How about the fucking platform not require pop-ups to begin with? How about you fuckers don't use third party platforms? Don't require us to go reach
you. Don't ask me to disable security features.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I have a case study for the ethics class coming up. Philosophy, same fucking thing. And it tells you. And because my philosophy teacher is obviously not listening to 2.5 Ben's, fuck the fact he will not know this. It says, oh, you have to upload it here so it can be processed through Turnitin, which is a plagiarism website. I said, hold the fuck up. If you think I'm plagiarizing my work, then you should be doing the work to make sure I'm not. I'm not fucking submitting my work to a third-party website.
And more importantly, I do not consent for you to do it either. So do not do it. If you do it, you're going against my consent, and we're going to have a problem.
I probably will add that as an addendum to the note when I do submit that particular thing in Dropbox, because I do not consent to my shit being sent to a third-party site to prove I'm the original goddamn author of it. If you think I'm fucking cheating, then call me before the goddamn educational board, and we can hash that out there. I'm not sending my content to be used to train some fucking shitty AI or otherwise. Get bent.
There's enough of my own content on the internet that AI's been trained on that doesn't need any fucking more.
It's hard to be security minded online because so many people have just casually given up whatever because everyone else does go along with it. The story I always cite,
again, it's the go along to get along. Mind the you,
story,
the
story I always cite is the fact that on any given work day, I never actually know when I'm supposed to arrive at work. Why? Because they only post the work schedule in the WhatsApp group.
Which is about as secure as nothing.
Well, I told them, I said, if you want me to run WhatsApp, I will absolutely do it. Provide me a phone.
Yeah, I'm not doing it on my personal device, period, dot.
And of course, if you give you one of these cheap phones, this is actually a story I have, but it was kind of a water is wet because I kind of figured this out. Your budget Android phone might be spying on you because, well, let's face it.
No.
Yeah, because.
Surely you just.
Okay, well.
From the no-shit department.
Yeah, and then, yeah. most of the stories are the no-shit department. I think I'm writing it down as a potential show title.
This literally has become the difference between 2.5 Ben's and the no-shit department.
Yeah, from the no-shit department, yes. Because what happens, okay, so on these budget Android phones, which, by the way, are underpowered and barely have enough resources to actually do anything, right? But then they put these applications that you can't uninstall. They make it impossible to do actual updates because, yeah, you know, I mean, I know Google has tried to...
Oh,
you know,
yeah, tap 7 times, I'm a developer, hook up the USB cable. Yeah, I can't uninstall the app, but I can remove all the code in the package.
Well, there's a lot. Yeah, there's things you can do, but the part, who's gonna fucking do that though? Basically,
I did.
Yes. So you know when we talk about this,
but
sort of,
Rye, you're an anomaly, dude.
I've done that myself.
I operate a Samsung phone with almost no Samsung software on it, and you know what? It works as a fucking phone. It's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've been doing the phone thing for a long time.
I swear to God, I use you as an example to some of the riders I have when I talk about the fact, like, I've got a friend who used to work for Microsoft who literally says, I keep my cell phone turned off and in a fucking drawer. It's the most secure way.
It's the only way, but most people aren't going to go through that trouble, right? Because
it's the go along to get along.
Well, they also
model.
Don't know how to do it either, right? I mean, it's
they're chicken shit. Nobody wants to be without their technology. Yeah, we have become such a fucking nation of instant gratification that they have to have that slave device on them at all fucking time.
Just for the record, I have never actually recommended that other people do what I did to my phone. For the simple fact that a couple character typo could have easily bricked my phone while I was doing it. And you don't want to support that.
Yeah, but you're a super smart Ben. Yeah, I don't think that would have happened with you.
God, I remember doing that with the Linksys WRT54GS when I loaded DDWRT or other third-party firmware on it. Where you have to get into the... Yeah, sometimes in order to reset it, you have to, like, open the thing up and, like, you short a couple pins out on the thing to get it to reset.
Yeah, when it's like, find this resistor, now bend a paperclip. And to touch the off.
Sad part is that both of you know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, we do, because we've done it.
Oh yeah, we were there.
Before I even thought about being a Bernadette, y'all were fucking jailbreaking shit.
That's right. Yeah, ultimately, like the problem
raise your hand if you ever built something on an electronics breadboard.
Oh yeah, I've done that. Yeah, the old Radio Shack kits, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah, those things. Wow, yeah, I remember.
All right, I'm just gonna sit over in the corner and sip my hard tea from Voodoo Ranger.
With a single, there'd be a single little 10-pin chip that had 4 AND gates on it. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I remember. I think
Damon just got the finger over here because he was like, "Sorry." I'm like, "Fuck you! Yeah. You guys are all way more advanced than I'll ever be."
We've only been doing this our entire lives, honey.
His problem is that he's the Ben on the left.
And what are you, the Ben on the screen?
I'm right in the middle. I am as center as it gets. I've got a screen on my left, a screen on my right. Both of them have boobs on them.
I have nothing wrong with that. I need to visit your studio.
Yeah,
By the way, NetNed raised his hand. Fuck all you Bens.
Oh, I knew he would.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because
I think he's actually the elder statesman of this entire group.
Yes, he's the elder statesman, and I know he's a dude named Ben because he's asked me about my data.
He's talked about NetNed.
The only reason NetNed isn't on this show is that he's been there, done that so hard. He's like, no, I'm past having to talk about it.
Although I would totally have NetNed on this particular show if he wanted to.
Of course we would. But he's been there, done that so hard that he's like, nope, I don't even need to talk about it anymore. Phoneboy and I, at least, we've been there, done that, and we still have to rant about it, which means that our trauma is not complete yet.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
And my trauma has yet to begin.
Oh, it's just starting.
Oh, yes. My trauma, I'm still in the fucking industry.
No, seriously. When I asked Bemlet for a list of, like, rage songs because I really needed something to just fucking work to my shit with, he was like, wow, you really have become a Ben.
He would know. He works with them.
Yeah,
seriously, the music that he provided me in the back channel, I now have a playlist called Bemlet, and there are more times than not when I will just pull that playlist up and hit the random button so it'll shuffle the songs, and it is fantastic. Kudos to him for the shit that I play when I'm showering, when, like, every day, whatever, there's just some song that totally fits that he's given to me on that playlist that will fit what I'm doing.
That's one of the things I like about doing the music stuff that we do, in the off time is sometimes y'all suggest some really good music and stuff that I haven't heard before, and so it's kind of a sharing experience thing. But this isn't a music show.
And the fact that some of these songs, fucking, I'm Going to Hell by
the Pretty Reckless,
that song filters in my head more times than I can count. 30-31-50 goes through occasionally. There's a lot of shit that should not be in my head that now cycles on my mental jukebox thanks to, Sir Bemrose and Bemlet.
Yeah, exactly.
So back in the day when I was in college, so we're talking 25 years ago, Cassette tapes were out. Compact discs were the thing. A compact disc holds 74 minutes of music. It was a little over 6 hours drive from where I lived to Pullman, Washington, where I went to school.
Yeah, out now.
6 hours.
Yeah, the only thing that they know how to do out there is a drink, right?
I was going to say professional.
We're very, very good at it. But a little over 6 hours. That is, it was. We determined it was exactly if you drive 5 or 10 over the speed limit, which of course we did. We determined that was exactly 5 compact discs long. So we built a playlist, 5 CDs that we burned. That had, Kid Rock, Stained, Godsmack. Yeah. And it actually went through, it started out, disc one was absolutely hard hitting, high paced tempo to really get going. By the time you hit disc three, you were in a smooth running trance, things like there was a lot of Pink Floyd and stuff. You get to the end and it was shit to try to keep you awake. And I had disc 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you put the disc in, start it up, start driving. Every time a disc finished, you throw the next one in. Yes, that was back when you had to use physical media and swap it out of a physical insert. And by the time, I was usually really good. I could time it. So I'd be pulling into my driveway right as this last song on disc 5 finished up. That was also when I used to be able to Iron Man a 6-hour drive.
I can definitely tell you there were more than enough of my fair share nights when I would drop the windows in my rig, crank up some ungodly, just fucking bloody wood or something that hit so hard that it couldn't not keep you awake, and just screaming at the windshield to get those last 5 fucking miles.
I think Open Road Song was probably about song 4
on the first
disc. Open
Road Song is dangerous. Every time that song comes on when we play it on the stream, my foot just gets a little heavier and a little heavier.
We timed it because when you leave Pullman, there's about 15 minutes where you're being between Pullman and Colfax, Washington. Anybody who hasn't been there has no idea what I'm talking about. Anybody who has is fucking rolling their eyes and sighing along with me, which is about the first 20 minutes is pure fucking speed trap. So we timed it. It was about song 5 or 6 on the first CD, which would happen right about the time you were leaving Colfax and hitting the open highway where there was 100 miles of fucking nothing.
Yeah, that's the middle of Washington State for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it was funny. We were, somebody had posted something about, VW's first autonomous car and posted a picture of Herbie, right?
Dan Ramos of MMO fame.
That was
fame
great.
He's not an MMO. Dan Ramos is somebody else.
MMO is
Dan
Gehring.
Gehring. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Dan posted the
Herbie. We probably
shouldn't
out him. He's actually decided to go by a pseudonym, so I'll shut up.
Well, whoever posted the Herbie, and we know who you are, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, actually posted a video of when we were on our road trip from Washington to where we are now. There was a lady who had a more modern bug that was designed like Herbie on the highway, and we took a video of it and we posted it.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, we saw that before. So this was just leaving when we left your place and started driving an I-90. I think we had seen it just before we got to the gorge. Because the next pictures in the camera roll were us. We'd gone up to a lookout point. When you went over the bridge, right? So I took some pictures from there, and like I said, it was, so I have a memory of Herbie on my road trip. So, that's probably the most I've driven. Multiple days of driving, 8 to 10 hours, whatever.
Is it wrong of me to hear the word Herpy every time you talk about that car?
That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. Well,
that's probably very, very wrong.
That's the wrong show. However, that's the Lotus Effect. Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central.
My longest road trip ever, by the way, was also very memorable because I left home alone and I came back one day in Primrose Heavy.
Yes, I can.
And you have not let go of said dame in 17
She won't let
years.
Me.
No.
I heard she's threatened your life, but that's just rumor.
Yeah, she's threatened my life, but, you know, not my marriage, so we're good.
There you go, exactly.
Hey, the fact that, seriously, like, kudos to you guys. Like, all heart and love to you guys. The fact y'all have made it 17 years and not...
18.
18, excuse me.
18 as of 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, yeah.
18 years. That's a triumph. You got 2 years till you reach 20 and, you know, seven till you reach 25. Seriously, my kudos to you, bro, and to the dame. That is a fucking struggle. Knowing, like, we're not even married, and there's days when I'm just like, don't fucking look at me, motherfucker. You know what I mean? And but, these but folks have put it up with for 18 years.
You've heard my marriage advice, and you're not following it, which is to say, you're in the same room. Just stay the fuck away from each other and your marriage will last longer.
We're doing a really good job at that, but the problem is we like
Have you tried
in the
moving
same
out
room?
To a place that you own?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're going to trigger phone boy. Don't do that. Yes, we I literally am. Just had that convo.
Anyway, that's trust me.
By
the
time I come out there, I expect to be a guest briefly on your ranch.
And it will be a motherfucking ranch. That's the funny part.
Yeah,
if there's not 30 acres, we're not doing something right.
Yeah.
All right. So another story. How about that?
Let's do that because that's what this show's about.
In theory, that's what other that's what other shows with this same name have been about.
That's not, what not we purport one. To be about.
Yeah. Self-driving Waymo does an illegal U-turn, but cop has nobody to ticket.
We saw this story. Please. Yes, please. Love it.
So the first place that I spotted this, and don't judge me for this, I saw it on Reddit.
Yeah, which, we're going to judge you.
Yeah, I know. You'd better.
Well, you
if
would.
If you didn't, I'd accuse you of being AI.
Well, I mean, it is known that Phone Boy's a glitch and I've been accused of being a bot, but carry on.
The question was... Well, okay, you know, I'll go ahead and describe the problem by pulling a conversation from there, which is, well, we know how to ticket cars, the license plate. You send the parking, if you have a parking ticket or something, you send it to the license plate through the owner. How can we, you know, how come you can't just, these cars have a license plate, can't you just ticket the corporation? The answer, because... it is a moving violation. Moving violations follow the driver, not the car. The law assumes that there's a driver. And in fact, that's why there's a difference in law between a moving violation like illegal U-turn or blowing a stop sign and a non-moving violation like you have a taillight out or you're illegally parked. The non-moving violations can be sent to the owner of the car, which is looked up in the license plate database. If a Waymo parks illegally, they can ticket the corporation just fine. But the law assumes for moving violations that there is a driver and always follows the driver and not the owner. There's no driver. So when these Waymo cars... do shit like an illegal U-turn. This one in particular did an illegal U-turn right in front of a cop. And you know what the cop can do?
Fucking all.
Absolutely nothing. There's nobody. The law requires that you identify a driver to give the ticket to, and there's no driver. The only thing the law can do is report that a crime happened and nothing. And in fact, in this particular story, the first problem, even before they realized that they couldn't ticket the driver because there wasn't one, they couldn't pull over the car because the Waymo thing doesn't understand what all of those blue flashing lights mean. And so the cop actually, the Waymo car did an illegal U-turn and then they did a low speed police chase where the car. The cop tried to pull the car over. The cop even tried to get in front of the car, and it just swerved and maneuvered out of the way until they finally got more cops in to box the car in, stopped it, and, oh, there's no driver. We don't have anyone. And by the way, evading police pursuit, yeah, that's also a moving violation. They can do fuck all. They cannot. All they could do was say, hey, this happened. But there is no legal recourse, not against Waymo, not against anybody, because the law is not written that way.
Yeah, and that's a real problem, because it ties into the whole AI discussion too, right? You know, at least okay, you know, in a car that's being driven by a human, right? There's somebody to hold responsible for the actions. Well, who do you hold responsible for the actions, right? When one of those, I don't know, unmanned vehicles kills somebody by running them fucking over or causes property damage or that kind of shit.
I mean, okay, wild idea. Arrest the programmer. You're going to see a lot fewer fucking bugs.
Arrest the programmer. I think that's a show title. Because the AI too, right? When AI does something that, you know, does something that causes human harm, who's fucking responsible for it? At least when if a person tells you to do something
Sam
stupid.
Sam Altman.
Well, yeah. Yes. He said
where'd
Sam
she
Altman.
Is she Pimrosing?
I can neither confirm nor deny this. Oh, jeez. But this is, yeah, I mean, this is the problem with this stuff, is that, yeah, I mean, you know, this thing is like, yeah, the laws don't account for the fact that this is a thing now, and, you know, and so these companies can pretty much do what the fuck they want with no recourse.
Yeah.
And
Fazilla nailed it in the chat room, says the law just needs to catch up. And yeah, that's true. But it turns out laws move real slowly.
Yes, and I'm sure the laws aren't going to change at all because, yeah, I'm sure the AI companies are going to, you know, foist some cash on some politicians and make sure that law doesn't get changed. No, I think we just need to opt out and say no to that shit. Don't get involved with it. Don't use it, you know. But
opting out of Waymo cars means that you don't live in San Francisco or Phoenix or... Actually, that's a really good advice regardless.
Yes,
but...
exactly. So I don't have to deal. But sometimes they are using them.
Would you tell her ass to get back to the microphone?
Jeez. I wish I could, but anyway. Eastbound and Down, net. That's a great song. I'll have to play that when we're done here.
That's a quality song.
Yeah, that is a quality song. So, let's see. I did find a story, and this is kind of silly. I got to find a real link for it that isn't on Apple News. But instead of improving productivity, AI is creating work slop. Also, no shit Sherlock category, because we know that these things.
I like the term.
Yeah. So the only thing I wrote down in this story, by the way, because I didn't sit there and read it, because this also falls under the no shit Sherlock category.
Yeah.
This whole show does. Yes. They say 40% of the work is work slop. That's just that has to be corrected by a human or something like that. My experience, the number's a whole lot higher. I got to the point where I just simply stopped using it because I didn't like the results it was providing. It was not, I mean, I experimented with a couple of weeks with the Lotus script in it, and what it turned in was terrible. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this.
My understanding of AI in a corporate context is what it's really good at automating is bureaucracy, which means that you don't need it, but it's highlighting all of the other bits of the corporate life that you also don't need.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because it's funny because I think that, you know, the kind of jobs that AI is good at is basically busy work, right? It's the kind of stuff that really doesn't actually provide any value to the bottom line, but you know, it makes you look like you're busy, and you know, it's the TPS reports, right? From Office Space. It's pretty, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was living the corporate life, I fucking resented. I had so many coworkers. Fortunately, where I worked was a place that it was not the majority, because most of the people were very smart and were driven by wanting to do good shit. But we had too many coworkers whose entire existence was, I'm really just here to exist. And there were so many corporate cracks where you could fall in and spend months at a time doing the absolute minimum and, you know, kowtowing to the corporate TPS reports and otherwise doing nothing. Like it is why I can't work in corporate America anymore. It's just
because
so much inefficiency in the bureaucracy.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, and it's just like busy shit, and it doesn't do anything, and it's like, okay, well, you know, yeah, I'm with you on all of that, right? This is, I mean, I
was also the person in the corporate sphere where, you know, we were told, okay, this, you have to take this mandatory, they didn't call it DEI training, but that's what it was. It was before DEI became a term. And they were like, it was like standards of business crap, or I don't know, but it was mandatory woke training before wokeness was really recognized as a problem. And they were like, you have to take this, and it's going to take you 2 hours to finish all of, you know, watch all the videos. And they locked down the web client to make sure that you couldn't fast forward or skip the videos. And at the end of the video, if you weren't there, it had a timer and it would reset the video if you didn't click, yes, I watched it soon enough. And then you had to answer questions about it and get, I mean, they really worked on trying to make sure that every single person got the brainwashing in. And it was supposed to take 2 hours of your time. And I shit you not, I spent more than half a day, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours fucking with the JavaScript and HTML of that page so that I could get through and get it to check off that I watched it without having to sit through those fucking videos. I spent twice as long as it would have been to sit through the videos trying to figure out how not to sit through the videos and get it off my back.
I don't blame you because, yeah, and yeah, we there's certain videos that Phoenix has to watch for some of the classes, and you just sit there and you're listening to this. I'm sitting here listening to this shit, and I'm going, and even looking at the questions, I'm going, you know what? If you just pick the gayest, stupidest answer possible, exactly, it's probably correct, which is pretty much, yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah. The quiz at the end of it was like, Joe should kill his mother-in-law, or Joe should walk into the surf and never leave, or Joe should do the right thing and fess up to his problems. Like that was the level of the quiz. Like, there was no need to watch any videos. You knew what they fucking wanted.
Exactly. It's funny. Yeah, especially some of the last couple of chapters of environmental science, you just, or even the philosophy, you just kind of sit there, scratch your head and go, you know, we don't need to, this stuff doesn't need to be read because you already know all this stuff because you've lived it, honey. Right. And so
environmentalism is easy. All you have to do is pick the one that is the worst for human progress.
Oh yeah. You mean like
the
electronic
one that's
vehicles,
the most propaganda filled.
Yeah. Or the one that makes the most profit for some company whose mission statement says that they're green.
I mean, I love the fact that because Phoneboy helped me write the one that I posted to the Dong, but basically stating that if government actually gave a fuck about the environment, cap and trade would literally be only cap. There would be no trade involved. There would be no, here, I have all these credits, let me give them to you so that I can pollute this much of the environment doing XYZ. It's disgusting. I'm not a tree hugger. Yes, I would like to help our planet not fucking end before.
Well, just remember what Carlin said. The planet is fine. We're not.
Yeah,
we're going to die before the planet does, I can assure you.
Yeah.
Because
it's going to shake
us
off like fleas.
Yeah, like a bad case of fleas, yeah.
Even Randall Monroe, who does XKCD, which is a hilarious comic, which is only slightly marred by the fact that he's a hopeless raging leftist.
Yeah, Bobby Tables joke, honey.
Yeah, Bobby Tables was a good one. He did an analysis where he was, losing my train of thought here.
Yeah, Bemrose needs more liquor.
Yeah,
I apparently do.
Yeah, but. Yeah, well, yeah, there's certain
people. We're well lubricated over here.
He did an analysis of what would it take to destroy the Earth.
Okay.
And the amount of energy was truly monumental. Like, more than a Dyson sphere would be capable of collecting.
It's, or certainly you know, more than certainly you know, an AI might you know, you'll build enough data centers might need a Dyson sphere to actually handle
now, it. The next sub question was, what would it take to destroy all humans on the planet? It's like, you know, honestly, not that much energy, more than humanity is able to generate right now, but not by too much. And really, honestly, all it would take is a medium-sized asteroid impact, like, you know, the size of a city or so. And you could probably kill all people on the planet.
Can but I how vote to destroy for the city it hits?
Please. But how to destroy the planet itself? Like, there may not be that much energy remaining in the solar system. Like, one of the only viable methods was to somehow decay its orbit to fall in the sun.
Well, I mean, the planet is going to be just fine. Altered by several degrees and such. I mean, I'm not being one of those climate change fucking Fruit Loops. Don't get me wrong. There are things, though, I think we can do to unfuck what we've done. I think it's very simple.
What have we done that you think we have the capability to unfuck, first of all?
AI.
I'm not sure we have that ability.
If enough people, and we've said it enough on the show,
yeah,
if enough people said no, if enough people decided to go back to the way it was, where we had analog, you know, phone or, you know, landline phones, and we weren't so addicted to the fondle slaps that are in front of our face.
But you understand,
because we have to.
Technology cannot be uninvented.
And no, technology cannot be uninvented, but technology can be not used. You can make the logical choice
solution to
say no.
If your solution starts with everybody on Earth needs to do this, then your solution is not workable.
And that's part of the reason why I've stated this is not my problem to handle. I can do what I can in my own little arena.
I can certainly make a choice to say no, right?
I'm not saying that I expect that the entire world is going to say, oh my God, Phoenix said AI was evil. Let me just stop using ChatGPT. Let me just stop doing this and stop doing that. I'm realistic to know that's not going to happen.
Every single problem from gun control to email spam, the only obvious solution is, well, if everybody in the world did the thing I'm about to recommend, and that is not a solution. It is a non-starter. It will not work.
Yeah, well,
no, you're right. And it's funny you mentioned gun control, because I just got a notification from the Department of Homeland Security making citizens suspects since 2011 that I have to renew.
2001, honey.
Sorry.
Yeah.
2001.
Yeah, 10 years too late.
Fuck you. The point is, okay.
Yeah, the last time I willingly got on a plane was August of 2001.
Wow. You're not missing much, dude. No, not a thing. But the point is, okay, I got a notification that by the end of the year, basically December, my concealed carry permit expires. And I was like, really?
That shit shouldn't expire.
No kidding.
Send them back, you know, send them back a very short note that has nothing but the text of the Second Amendment.
I mean, that's a good point. The problem of which is if I don't pay them either $50 for another 8 years or $200 for a lifetime, go fuck yourself, never send me another one of these goddamn notifications, I give up my right to have my sweatshirt over my fucking nine as I walk into a grocery store, essentially. Do I think it's a racket? But am I willing to pay that money? Yeah, that $200 to never have to fucking worry
until they
about
change
it
the
again.
Rules, of course.
That's literally protection money.
It's extortion money.
That's protection money. You're like,
it's
you need
extortion.
To pay,
it's yeah, huge you need to, state extortion. Yeah.
You need to pay $50 to protect yourself. Well, protect myself from what? From what I'm going to do if you don't pay your $50.
Well, the funny part is we here in this great state have open carry, which means by all rights and responsibilities, it's a matter of lifting my sweatshirt and tucking it behind my fucking 9mm as opposed to having it over it that makes it the difference between paying $50 for another 8 years or $200 for the rest of my life to have the right to have my sweatshirt over that fucking thing so that if somebody pops off and does something stupid, you don't know that I'm about to end your fucking day.
Believe it or not, we have open carry in this state too. And one of my favorite experiences ever, because of course I live in a left coast city, There is a gun shop about 9 blocks from here. And I didn't feel like driving it. So I literally walked with my 32-inch barrel 12-gauge shotgun over my shoulder, walked down the sidewalk to this gun shop, and everybody's head was turning. People were like, what the hell? You know, like at one point, I am honestly amazed that a cop didn't show up and be like, what the hell are you doing? But I'm pretty sure if any cops were called, they're like, yeah, that's legal.
Yeah, as long as it's not concealed, you're fully legal.
Oh, yeah. It was just like wide out in the open, holding it over my shoulder.
Although I'd love to see the video of Rye Bemrose walking with a fucking 12 on his shoulder, just down the road, going to the fucking place.
Now, the vast majority of businesses will freak the fuck out and trespass you if you enter their property
that,
because whatever.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so live update. Klaatu just posted the L.A. Chevron refinery is on fire. Time to raise West Coast gas prices.
Oh, you know they're going to.
Oh, yeah. You know they are. That's going to trickle down to us.
I almost pulled that story for Lotus. I didn't, but yeah, that is...
still should.
I've already put the script together. But
So theoretically, we've got 4 minutes to 2-hour mark.
Yeah,
I have another story, and it's awful and long and painful and very
make
ranty.
It happen.
Do we really need?
Yeah, we do. Because, you know, she's got the pussy! And I say, I want to hear it.
Okay, I'll just say 3 words, and you can reevaluate that. Online Safety Act.
Oh dear God! We know what. We know what the say. Yeah, no, let's not do that because I think I'm gonna.
I'm gonna Sam rule you. Yeah. I want to hear this. I absolutely want to hear the goddamn bullshit that is coming from this. Please continue, Sir Bemrose.
Okay. Well, you guys are apparently at least slightly familiar with the Online Safety Act, which is a UK law that they passed last year, early this year.
So that's a UK story. Yeah, I wasn't sure what country because it seems like they're all over.
It's UK.
Okay, this is UK. Okay.
Yeah. It mandates, among other things, that it applies to any technology company anywhere with a, quote, significant number of UK users, or if UK is a target market. It mandates that all online platforms must moderate content deemed, quote, harmful to children, which is a very poorly defined term, but does include specifically porn and bullying and another very poorly defined term, quote, abusive or hateful content, which is amazingly subjective, which means that bureaucrats can just decide that arbitrary content fits into this. They must moderate it, which means, you know, if it's on your platform and anybody sees it and decides that it's hateful, then you're in violation. It's as easy as that. There's no clear-cut rules. It's just, yeah.
So in other words, it's the same shit the UK has been doing, which is what we say is okay, otherwise, fuck you.
Yeah. There's certain classes of sites.
About the UK,
There's certain classes
of
sites
that are
mandated. That's
what I'm saying.
Like,
the UK is fucked in the head.
Certain types of sites that are mandated to implement age verification, like among other things, porn sites,
Well, the porn sites are like, no, we don't want this data. We don't want to have to do this. We know this is a security risk and we don't want the data. We don't need the data. So why are we fighting? And so that's why some of the porn sites in the US are like, we're not going here.
And the UK government is going out and saying, no, you have to implement age verification. Okay. Yeah. Fine. By the way, the OSA also criminalizes, quote, sending false information intended to cause non-trivial harm.
In other words, we should be arresting all the people in the fucking press and the government.
Yeah, we should
be
arresting all the people in the UK government.
Yes.
But, I digress. That, again, poorly defined and very subjective, which is kind of, I think, the point to this law, because the people in the government in the UK pretty much get to decide where to slap that paintbrush and decide to that, you know, oh, this is illegal. Anyway, And it mandates all of this to anyone who, you know, has a significant number of UK users, fine. They don't really acknowledge things like international boundaries with this. Just if you have people in the UK, so anyway, that passed. Now, lots of really terrible laws get passed and then aren't enforced. This one, however, is being enforced by a couple of different bureaucratic agencies. One is the UK Information Commissioner's Office, or ICO. Another one is something called Ofcom, but I'm not sure exactly the.
But yeah, they have been going. I know it's a bureaucratic agency.
But yeah, they're bureaucratic agencies. I'm not sure the exact organization, but they are going out and finding and identifying and quote investigating all of these online platforms for, are you violating this law? A lot of American companies have completely caved to this. For example, Reddit now implements age verification for all UK users. Reddit, the way it works is if you're anonymous, you can generally view things. But if you try to view certain subreddits like porn
or
NSFW or apparently posts about cigars, they will block you and say you have to log in and you have to verify your age. Twitter is blocking any Gaza-related content, all Gaza-related content to all UK users.
Well, that sounds about right.
Microsoft has added age verification for Microsoft accounts for all UK users. Imgur is the one most recently. This story is from September 30th.
Just
as of September 30th, if you go to Imgur from anywhere in the UK, and again, by the way, saying from anywhere in the UK means that they are geofencing, which I believe we have talked about even on this show that geofencing doesn't fucking work.
No, because you can Faraday cage that shit.
Yeah, you can VPN that shit.
And also the data and the database that they use is not exactly accurate either.
There's many ways to spoof it.
So it's terribly inaccurate. But the idea that geofencing is even possible has been a pervasive myth amongst the kind of people who want to limit any kind of content. So if you go,
here's an idea. Let's stop limiting content. Period. Dot.
Yeah, there's a great idea. Go tell the bureaucrats in the UK.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they have their heads too far up their asses to listen.
So the UK Information Commissioner's Office had concluded an investigation about whether or not TikTok, Reddit, and Imgur were, quote, appropriately protecting children's data and assessing the age of UK citizens under the Online Safety Act. They announced the completion of that investigation on the 10th of September. On the 30th of September, any user anywhere in the UK as geofenced is getting a page that says, we're sorry, all your Imgur content is not available in your region. Imgur just fucking shut the country off.
Wow.
How
long is that going to go for before?
Because this is what, you know, the companies like Reddit and Twitter who just caved and decided to curb the privacy of every single user in the world because one government has gone off its fucking rocker.
Way off.
I want more companies to shut down the UK. The UK citizens do not fucking deserve the internet for as long as they support this government that thinks that they can screw over companies all over the world just because of this story triggers me so much.
I hate to be that person, but what recourse do they have, Rye?
Who's they?
The UK citizens.
Well, the UK citizens could maybe like rise up and fucking burn down Buckingham. I don't know.
Yeah, good fucking luck that happening. Continue.
Well, you know, they don't have any guns and apparently they're not allowed to have knives or machetes anymore, but
No, they've absolutely neutered the
Maybe they
whole
could implement
EU
Sharia law, as the majority of people in the UK prefer anyway.
What they don't realize is there's more of them than there is the regulatory bodies that
know.
They could overthrow.
That's not my problem. Because
no,
as
that,
far
that's
as
got
I'm
a step field around it, because we're here in
the UK
US.
Government, the UK government just removed the UK from the internet. And if the people of the UK wants to be back on the open internet, then they need to do something about their out of fucking control government.
They
and this
do.
Isn't even 100%. Touching on the censorship and arresting people for social media comments.
No, it's like the meme we saw about, you know, oh, how's it like to live in the UK? Oh, I can't complain. Oh, that's yeah. good. No, I really can't
no, I really
complain
can't.
Or I'll be arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's not a joke. Like, that's not freedom, folks. I hate to break it to you, but those in the U.S. who still have the right to say fuck Donald Trump, fuck the Democrats, fuck whoever we want to say fuck you to, okay?
Fuck you!
We still have the right to do that, whether it's our own government or some private entity. We still have that freedom to do that. Those fuckers in the U.K. don't, and they need to rise up.
So I absolutely appreciate what Imgur is doing. I wish more people would do it. I think they're doing the right thing, which is, you know, this shit does not fly. You cannot control everything we do. You cannot force us to violate the rights of all of our users just because your country is out of control.
Yeah, agreed.
When they did this, by the way, the ICO came back and warned that, quote, blocking users from the UK does not exempt the organization from paying a previously imposed fine. And, you know, that might be true, but you know what does? Being a fucking American company.
Yeah, good luck with that. Now,
and by the way, yeah. I, as long as I was there, I went ahead and pulled what I thought was the best company response to it, which was, not surprisingly, 4chan. Who Ofcom decided to fine £20,000 in the grand scheme of things, not a hell of a lot of money. But then 4chan also was, quote, accruing daily penalties because the Ofcom said, well, you're not verifying the age of all of your anonymous users. Yeah. Yeah. Remember, 4chan does not collect user data. They don't even allow you to create user accounts. Everybody is anonymous. That is their business model. That is the whole reason for 4chan. And Ofcom is coming out and saying, well, you're not protecting the UK users and children, and you're not collecting all this information on you. And you know what 4chan came up with? Ofcom's, they had their lawyers draft this. Ofcom's notices create no legal obligations in the United States. 4chan is a United States company, which is created and headquartered in New Jersey. 4chan has broken no laws in the United States, and therefore my client, this was the attorney, will not pay any penalty, whether it be the initial penalty or any daily penalties. American businesses do not surrender their First Amendment rights because a foreign bureaucrat sends them an email.
Fuck, and under
settled principles of U.S. law, American courts will not enforce foreign penal fines or censorship codes. If necessary, we will seek appropriate relief in United States federal court to confirm these principles.
Goddamn right. Good that attorney.
Yeah, that's actually great. Well, there is another company that is actually kind of standing up to the UK government, and that's actually Apple. And because,
really?
Yeah, actually they are, because so there's a battle going on between the UK government and Apple, because the UK wants all of that encrypted iCloud. They want access to all of that encrypted iCloud data that they do. And Apple said,
of course they do.
Yeah. And Apple said, fuck you. No, we're not. And
good.
I think they rescinded it, and now it's kind of come back into the thing again. And it's like,
they have no goddamn right. Yeah, you are a foreign country. You have no right to any access to any information on people in this particular, yes.
We're not going in Apple company. And Apple, you know, okay, this is, you know, so we can complain about some of the things that Apple does, but
yeah, but yeah, at the end of the day, they have the integrity to say no.
Yeah. But yeah, they actually have a stand, they're taking a principled stand going, if we create this back door for the UK, we've now just made all of our customers worldwide insecure. Yeah, we ain't fucking doing that. That's basically what they said, right?
Iris, I respect
that. And they've been fighting it, and they're trying to, you know. But again, this comes down to the fact that, yeah, it's a, you know, Apple is a U.S. company, right? So, again, kind of the 4chan response is completely appropriate. But
here's the thing. When do people in other countries get sick and tired of the bullshit their government is pulling that's causing them to not have unfettered access to these services, i.e. the Apple shit? The UK citizens need to rise up. These fucking hiccups, Damon, I swear to God, I can't get a sentence out without going, it's fucking ridiculous.
That's what you get for drinking the beer.
It has nothing to do with that, you twat. It literally has to do with, I literally swallowed air, I don't know when. The point
and you
is,
literally swallowed beer, too.
The beer had nothing to do with, it's not beer, it's tea. The point is, if you're in a different country, and these services are being restricted to you, rise up, speak out. And that involves our own country in shit that we need to start speaking out. Too many people. I hate these hiccups when I'm trying to make a point.
Do you need to go gargle some semen or something?
That's the after party.
That's the wrong show. And the after
party.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Anyway.
But seriously, the bullshit only stops when people stand up and start saying, no, we're not going to tolerate it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. So do we have any other stories to talk about? I mean,
I do if I could quit hiccuping. Do you have anything
in other words, no.
Yeah. Fuck you, Ryan.
Okay. All right.
We have a problem. I screwed up my board. Yeah. I have officially, help me. Yeah. I totally screwed up my board. I hit a button and now I don't have my effective.
Fuck you!
Someone's
pressing buttons.
That was a button I was looking for you.
Someone in the control room is out of control.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah, it would be the one with hiccups, unfortunately, because I can't get through this story without having the goddamn hiccups. So I was hoping Foamboy
had. The hammering.
Exactly.
I was hoping you or Foamboy had something else while my hiccups
away. I've got two stories just to mention, and I don't think I need to say much about them. Israeli firm uncovers ChatGPT vulnerability that leaks data without a click, which... Yeah. So, and then also researchers disclosed Google Gemini AI flaws allowing prompt injection and cloud exploits. So these fucking things.
I like that one.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is, you know, the reality is that these this AI, and I remember I was sitting in the audience when last year at one of our corporate events, and I'm listening to the smartest person I know, and Phoenix has actually met this person. It was great.
I cherish that.
Yeah. And anyway, but you know, and I'm watching her talk about AI, and I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be a vulnerability from hell. Yeah, it's now it has its own vulnerabilities, and it seems and there's now even products that try to secure that product. It's like the pharmaceutical industry, dude. They're creating the problem and the solution. And this is and the security software has bugs. I mean, when does this shit end, folks?
Well, we've been talking about are the bugs intentional?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't have much to say, but
do they purposefully create these vulnerabilities and bugs to create the fixes?
Well, no, it's much like the road work that goes on. It's one of those the never ending make work project because it seems like they just get finished with the road and then they got to do it again, right? It's just anyway.
Oh, you've been paying attention to the infrastructure here.
Oh yeah, that's one thing I know is moving here from Wisteria Lane, the roads were well maintained. Here, not so much. But of course, the amount of taxes that you pay in even though there's no state income tax, a lot of other stuff is it costs a whole lot more there.
Well, that didn't work.
No, that definitely didn't work either. But
now my boobs just hurt from beating the shit out of them.
So are you able
hiccups.
To do your story now?
No, I fully on fucking have the hiccups, but I'm gonna try because apparently AI generated so. Fuck it. I'll just do it with the hiccups. Fuck you and every hiccup I have. AI-generated social media has arrived. From a fascist SpongeBob SquarePants to Jesus playing Minecraft. You literally can create anything with OpenAI. And we're starting to see
Minecraft playing Jesus.
I know, it's crazy. Apparently you can like upload your own image into scenarios that aren't actual. You know, you can create insanely realistic looking videos with your friends saying things they would never say. And this is just so great because you can pretend to be on vacation anywhere on a social media. Yeah, that works. Social media post. Yep. That's what I was trying to say.
Someone needs more liquor.
No, seriously. I'm not even joking. Like, these hiccups came on.
Social media.
Yeah. These hiccups came on, and I can't speak because every fucking other word is a hiccup.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Uh-huh.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's social emodium, which is what I wrote down.
Social emodium. I can't even... I mean, seriously, though, you can literally create any deep fake now, and people are going to believe it's real. You can be like, oh, look at me vacationing in Ibiza. Aren't I awesome? While you're on your fucking couch, you white trash piece of shit.
Well, and also, too, remember, I think this also came up in the conversation with you-know-who, and the fact that, or maybe this was another conversation that I had with her, but we were talking, she said, like, we could potentially, we can make technology that would, we could perhaps, you know, sort of authenticate the veracity of a particular video by, you know, so doing some cryptographic shit, but...
Nothing's real anymore. That's the bottom line.
But again, much like the woman who said that one thing AI can't give is a hug, she said people don't care.
No, they really don't. They don't want the truth.
No, and it's very clear that they're being driven away from
this. And she's a very intelligent individual, and I'm blessed to have had the opportunity to have my own personal session with her.
Yeah, anyway, it's a very, very important person in my own life as well. But I just really, like, yeah, I don't know.
Here's the thing. The more we allow, and I said this interestingly enough recently, the more we allow AI to take over our lives and to give our autonomy to it, the worse it's going to get.
I'd say that with all technology, the more this is the whole Professor Ted thing. The more we embrace technology.
Oh, my God, I said that. Yeah. So I was talking about how I had a guy who did, you know, video and whatnot, who did the Atlanta bomber. We talked about that on the Lotus Effect episode 198, I believe. And the fact that we are giving our autonomy away to technology piece by piece. There's no humanity left in all of this. Nobody's doing their own work. I even admitted I used fucking Eve to do my homework for EV science because it's a bunch of propaganda and bullshit that I don't need to be involved in. I'm just trying to get through this course to get a grade to progress in my degree. It's bullshit. And unfortunately, okay, if I actually cared about the subject, yeah, I wouldn't be using AI because I'd actually want to learn the stuff and know it. I don't need an electronic device that tells me, oh, the answer to your question is blah, blah, blah. No, we don't need that in the world. We need more human connectivity. We need more people who are talking to one another, even if it is over a DSL connection, an internet, you know, Ethernet connection, whatever it is. I know DSL, dating. We need more human-to-human contact, not human-to-machine. And I think that's the basic message we're trying to deliver here, is you don't know what's real anymore when AI has taken over the lives of so many
people. We didn't really know what was real before AI came on the scene.
But it's even worse.
Yes, but it's
like,
just...
Like, we're real. I'm real. You're real. Rye's real. We're all real people talking about technology, talking about what we see, what we've experienced. You know, you guys from a different perspective because you've been in it so many years. Me from a perspective of a new, you know, Bernadette to be. you know, I haven't seen all the shit y'all have seen over the years. You've seen the, you know, you yourself, phone boy, you were there when, you know, this shit started.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, I suspect Rye the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, literally, you know, I mean, we're, you know, 1995 is when I graduated, from the white privileged Jesuit university.
Yeah, which is a year after I came out of high school. Okay. Yeah. I much prefer the fact I can see you and know that you're a real person, you know, Sir Bemrose the same. You know, I've met that crotchety old prick. I know he's real, you know.
And he's a real liquor cabinet, too.
Maybe it's not a cabinet.
It's all sitting out. But yeah,
it's not her cabinet that I want to lick.
That's the after party.
Yes, exactly.
But no, we're real people. Okay, we're not AIs. As much as we joke about it, we're not glitches, we're not AIs, we're not bots. We're real people who really interact with other people. That's why we do what we do every Friday and every Saturday, because we believe in the human connection and we see the way the world is trending, and we're absolutely appalled by the fact that artificial intelligence is taking over what human intelligence used to occupy.
Well, it's funny because in my mind at some point when this stuff came out, it's like, I call it, yeah, when I see the word intelligence, I replace it with the opposite and it's actually correct. So it's artificial stupidity.
It is absolute stupidity.
And I'm writing, and I'm going to put that as a show title, by the way.
It's funny because I had a clip montage to talk about this, the story that I brought about, you know, AI generated social media and whatnot. And it was this.
It's a holiday.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Yeah. If you have to fake your holiday, if you didn't really go to this place and you're just like, hey, look at what I did, although I really didn't do it.
Didn't Arnold Schwarzenegger make a movie about that?
It's called Total Recall.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
It was a great fucking movie. What the fuck did I do?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, yeah, I'm a cinephile thanks to my dad. But you know what? Do any of you two Bens have anything else?
Let's see. I'm looking here. I've got, okay.
You know, Rye came unprepared. He admitted it first thing. He was like, look, I've got a couple of stories. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. I think I still have two things
rip it out, dude.
Okay. So Intel and AMD trusted enclaves, a foundation for network security, fall to physical attacks. This is an article from Ars Technica, and it says
what you're saying is somebody got pwned.
Well, yeah, they're using, yeah, basically by rewiring some things on the motherboard, yeah, you can do stuff. And, you know, this is one of the first things. You always have to secure physical access, right? But the chip makers say physical attacks aren't in the threat model. Well, that doesn't mean you're not secure from it, but...
So what do you got, like malicious actors in your own segment?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. I mean, but basically what they were able to do is exploit some features. There's a protection that manages who can access what things in a cloud environment. The trusted execution enclaves is what, you know, the ones essential...
This sounds like an Amazon Bucket 3 problem.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Sorry, just saying.
Yeah, but it's one of these, it's like, okay, well... You know, the article, of course, because it's Ars Technica, goes into it in a bit detail. But basically, yeah, if pointing out that if you have physical access to the hardware, game over, right?
And so from the no shit Sherlock department, yeah. If you have physical access to the hardware, game over is all you have to say.
Yeah, well, we say game over at the end of the show too, but we're not quite there yet.
Game over.
Yeah, game over. Yeah, I think that's actually.
No, seriously, if you're sitting on the hardware itself, like, you pretty much have control of everything.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the other one that I thought this was just kind of a funny thing. It's like, yeah, all that cord cutting that people have been doing for so long. Yeah, it's as you probably if you feel like you need to consume, you know, your own family drama is so bad that you have to watch somebody else's. That was an actual ad for Paramount Plus.
Yeah, is that Paramount's ad that, you know, oh, forget your family drama, watch ours.
Because when we watch our what we call fine quality television that has,
and then
the
you wonder why there's fucking AI actors now instead of actual physical heart beating talent. I give you this.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, but I get to see the ads in two circumstances. Number one, when we watch NFL games, which, oh my God, like this year, like
bang, Niner game. Yeah, we did not deserve that win, but we got it.
There's been some crazy shit going on NFL games. You have stuff you just kind of look at and you go,
so many games that have gone to overtime. Yeah, but we'll talk about that on Lowest Effect. But, five Eastern, four Central tomorrow.
But
continue on what you were saying.
Okay, but the other one is in order to watch NFL games, you have to subscribe to about five different services to actually get all of the games, right, and pay an exorbitant amount of money. But and because of all of this, cable nostalgia persists as streaming gets more expensive and fragmented. So it's gotten to the point where
I'd say just say no, right?
But I've been doing that pretty much my entire life. But
hold on, phone boy. So, Sir Bemrose, I'm going to actually pull you into the fold here. I know this. What do you and the Dame consume as far as, do you watch the news? Do you watch anything on TV? Do you have cable? Do you have streaming? Like, what are you about?
I get all my news from memes.
Fair.
That's probably much more accurate.
So,
honestly.
In other words, you all are not connected to that which the Dame works for and don't buy into the whole blah, blah, blah.
You know, the hilarious thing is that we have some kind of premium cable TV package that is bundled as a part of the employment for the USP, the USB. We have some kind of premium cable package, and we have a ISP-supplied cable box in the room with the big screen TV that is not connected to anything. I think the last thing that I watched was a 2023 season Seahawks game on that thing.
Fuck the Seahawks. And then,
okay, well, that... Anyway, no. Basically, I don't watch TV or cable or anything like that. We both are connected to the internet and we do our own thing. And as part of my information diet, I definitely avoid corporate information channels.
Bottom line is, the only things we watch are
football
and old game shows. Yeah, that's how you know you've reached fine quality
Bill
television.
Todson,
yeah, as I say, Mark Goodman, it's got to have the Mark Goodson seal of approval on it in order to watch it, because yeah, we like games.
There's
like
nothing fucking worth it on the TV. Yeah. I will say it out loud and I don't give a fuck who hears me. There's absolutely nothing worth it on TV, especially when you're bringing in supposed like AI actors and actresses. Like, what? You're not even a fucking human. Like, how are you? Like,
well,
how can
there's so much content now. This is the other thing too, is like, because especially with the internet and, you know, blowhards like us making podcasts like this, right?
We are doing a service, don't believe we're
not. Exactly. However, but my point is that in terms of, you know, so every show on television, you know, or every is competing with every show on every other streaming service and all the independent, it's like, how much of this content is actually getting consumed?
No one's really watching. That's why streaming services are what they are, because cable TV has taken a massive nosedive.
Yeah, but there's just too
in
much
the last
stuff.
10 years.
Yeah, there's still too much to watch, and it's all shit. So
yeah, it's
at
much
some
like
point,
500 people... channels and nothing on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this what do you do with the other 327? Well, maybe one of them doesn't suck.
Maybe Unplug, dude, has and I'm sure those who are listening to 2.5 Bens know. Just unplug. Look at the person who's in front of you. Like, you know, join us, 07 of 9. Stop.
Squirrel!
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's true. Unplug. That's the best thing you can do. Stop watching these streaming services. Stop listening to the propaganda that is the national news. If you want to know what's going on, listen to those who are really doing the shit, like me, Phoneboy, Sir Bemrose, you know, even the No Agenda boys. As much as we don't promote them because we think Adam Curry's a fucking joke,
don't bring me into your irrational
biases. That's
only
because you're afraid of being on the bad side of the pod, Father.
We can have that discussion if you want. Just don't bring me into your irrational biases.
No, there's absolutely no reason to. You still remain on the good side of the Pud Father, and that's fine. Yeah. We're fine to be outliers who say, fuck you, Adam Curry. Fuck the fact that you're going to down a listener for the fact they can't afford $5 a fucking month while you're bringing in thousands of dollars. I'm sorry. Yeah. I find absolutely no respect in that, okay?
Do you want a Phoenix rant? Me. You got a Phoenix rant.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You want a Phoenix rant? You got a Phoenix rant.
Yeah, you have Phoenix rants all over the place.
I'm going to be a twat for a moment. I'm always a twat. I am the head cunt. Just know, I wear that with pride. I don't give a shit what show I'm on. I'm glad to see you have your soundboard up, Sir Bemrose.
Don't mind me.
No, we never do. Yes, we do.
How do you usually end this shit show?
Something like this.
I get hit the button, and it goes something like this.
Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?